When you think sports, think News Radio 1070, WKOK.
The Shikellamy Braves play on News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Brubaker reaches up, he's got it at the 2-yard line! Touchdown, Shikellamy! Oh, what a catch!
The Shikellamy Braves are sponsored by Route 11 Coffee and Cream, Blaze Alexander Ford, Peter's Home Appliance, Hoopies Detailing, Martz's Gapview Hunting Preserve, Service Electric Cable Vision, Glick's, Shock Law, Hubs Home Oxygen, Diversified Construction, Aaron's Rentals, Shamokin Dam Health Center, ITG Basement Systems, Purdy Insurance, Central Vision Eye Care, McCreary HVAC, Alexander Family Dealerships, Lackawanna College, Sunbury Motors. And now, Braves football with Kevin Herr and the Chief, Dave Ritchie.
1 week ago when we left the air here on WKOK, there were three things we didn't know. We didn't know if Mifflinburg would be able to beat Jersey Shore on Saturday night and go to the District 4 championship game in Class 4A. We didn't know if Shikellamy would play a Week 9 game if Mifflinburg won or lost. And we didn't know who the next president of the United States would be. One of those we still don't know. And it is not the fact that Mifflinburg and Shikellamy are playing football tonight. Kevin Herr with the Chief, Dave Ritchie. Listen, if you can't laugh at this, what can you do?
Kevin, how are we going to do football after that introduction? Wow.
We'll have updates from Wolf Blitzer every 5 minutes. No, all kidding aside, if something does happen, we will definitely share it with you and let you know what's going on. We'll have complete coverage as well at WKOK's Facebook page. And then if something does warrant long-form coverage from CBS News, we will have that for you as well later on this evening. But we'll keep you posted on everything that's going that kind of really matters in the grand scheme of things in life. But this is one of those type of games that you can just take a break with a little bit and just enjoy and forget about all the craziness of the last 72 hours or so and just think a little bit about football. And tonight, the Mifflinburg Wildcats coming in with a 4-4 record after losing to Jersey Shore a week ago at the Shore Without a Beach, take on the Shikellamy Braves coming in at 3-5 here in Mifflinburg as the Braves had the win over Midwest a week ago. As I said, Kevin Herr along with the Chief, Dave Ritchie, welcome to Mifflinburg High School and the Mifflinburg Stadium as the Wildcats play host to Shikellamy in this bonus Week 9 game. And, you know, Chief, these are important games. We're only supposed to play technically 8. If you could get a couple of more games scheduled, you were allowed to. If you went into the playoffs, you'd be able to run through and maybe even play toward Thanksgiving before everything wrapped up. But these bonus games, if you want to call it that, are really important to a very young team, Chief.
Hey, listen, anytime you get a chance to go beyond the season that was originally scheduled is a bonus. And I think especially for Shikellamy, Shikellamy has developed themselves into one of the better teams the last couple of games. And basically because of their strong defense and the offense in the last two games have really come along. I noticed in Todd Hummel's synopsis about our game tonight that he said Shikellamy's defense has pitched a shutout. And I thought the last two games, and I thought, well, Midwest scored, but it was against special teams.
It was special teams.
So they did. They have shut out two teams in a row, Milton and Midwest. So, listen, you get some of the kids that haven't had a lot of experience. You get another game under their belt. But I think most of all, mentally, all right, it helps the Braves football team, especially the fact that, you know, they go start out 1-5, and you could end up 4-5. What a great turnaround.
Well, you had mentioned, too, right there, that the Braves turnaround and the couple of shutouts, basically defensive shutouts back-to-back. Shikellamy was being outscored almost 3-1 in the early part of the season. Right now, the Braves are being outscored an average of 20-15. And that's how things have balanced out. And the Braves have been able to score points in the first, second, third, and fourth quarters this year all the way through. Now, when you look at Mifflinburg coming in at 4-4, one of the things that stand out against with this Mifflinburg team is, yes, they were a playoff team in the 4 seed. They are giving up 30 points a game, averaging 18 points a game with that 4-4 record. They as well have some balanced scoring over the four quarters. But the thing that stands out to me is this is a Mifflinburg team checking in at -5 in the turnover ratio, where Shikellamy is actually +3 right now.
That's been a positive for the Braves all year long. They have not basically, you know, given up a lot of balls that they fumbled. Now, interceptions, they've had some problems with that. But, you know, when you have a -6, that's and a +5, you said, for Shikellamy. So that's a swing.
+3.
+3.
-5, +3.
That's a swing of 9. So, you know, it's something that I know Coach Hort always used to talk about, the takeaway and the turnovers. And if you are giving up the ball and letting the other team, you know, sometimes stop a drive or, in other words, stop your own self, you know, it's not a good thing. So I didn't realize that. That's a good point, Kevin.
Well, and I think another thing, too, that we talk about young teams. Mifflinburg, a fairly young team as well. Lots of juniors and sophomores and a couple of freshmen here on this starting roster here tonight are seeing a lot of playing time. Shikellamy in the same situation. I believe there's 6 starters that are seniors this year, thereabouts. A lot of sophomores, juniors, and freshmen getting quality playing time this year for the Braves, and not in the end of the game, but in the middle of the game and in the beginning of the game, and some of them are even starting. So I think a game like this is a key game to set up 21, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Hey, I just got a text from Bill Ziegler. He says, don't let any basketball players get hurt tonight. We'll do what we can, Coach Ziegler. We'll see what happens.
We are outside tonight, so the Mifflinburg coaching staff, I'm sure, will be listening closely to everything we do. The Braves, of course, on the opposite side. There is a very sparse crowd here tonight. It was only a couple of tickets per player for the Shikellamy team. So, as always, we are very happy to be your ticket to the game tonight. And we are socially distancing outside high atop the 40-yard line here at Mifflinburg.
We're the only game in Sunbury Broadcasting Town tonight.
We are the only game of the family of stations.
Yeah,
that's right.
When's the last time that happened? Never.
That's very true. You know, because every time if we were playing, it would be Selins Grove, and that would be on Eagle 107 as well. So you're right.
Exactly.
That's a good point, Chief. This is a first.
Well, it's fun. I was, you know, it gave me something, and I know you, too, to look forward to after – well, after a hard week of being retired, and you a hard week of working at the radio station. So, anyway, it's nice, and it's nice evening. We've got a nice view here. We're right underneath the speakers, so if you hear somebody else besides Kevin and myself, it will be the public address announcer.
Right, and the nice thing is, it was a nice day today. It is going to be a brisk night tonight with temperatures dropping into the low to mid 50s. But it is a quite clear night. As a matter of fact, even with the lights on, see a couple of stars here out tonight in Mifflinburg.
Yeah, and we don't have any of that dust from everybody taking their soybeans off when we came up 45 today.
It was also time to pick the soybeans.
We were wondering whether there was a fire, but we said it's either a fire or they're taking off the soybeans.
And that's what it was, 3 different locations, as a matter of fact. When we return, Coach Jim Kizer of the Shikellamy Braves joins us on the pregame. You're listening to Shikellamy Football on WKOK and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
Zimmerman's Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram on Route 61 in Sunbury has always put the customer first. Bob Zimmerman and his staff always do their best to break the stereotype. Every new vehicle comes with a bumper-to-bumper warranty for 3 years or 36,000 miles and a powertrain warranty for 5 years or 60,000 miles. Even longer warranties are available direct from the manufacturer. Zimmerman's is the full-service dealership you want. Convenience is the final reason why at Zimmerman's Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram you are sure to drive away smiling.
Hi, this is Susan from Purdy Insurance. During this time, we are operating under the guidance of the PA Insurance Department. Most of our staff continues to work from home to practice social distancing for the safety of our staff and clients. Our office remains open and available to service our current and new clients by phone, by calling 570-286-5855, email, and by appointment. Our after-hours emergency service is also ready to assist our clients with their needs. From the team at Purdy Insurance, stay safe, be well, be kind, and know that we remain dedicated to the highest levels of service to protect what matters most.
This part of today's game is brought to you by Diversified Construction. Hey, whose turn is it to make the popcorn? When I was a kid, it was always my turn. First, I shook the hot oil pan until the corn popped. and later I used a hot air popper. Now I'm back popping in a hot oil pan because the butter and salt sticks to the popcorn better. Hopefully you're having a good time snacking with family while listening to today's game. Quality family time is what life is all about. We'll be back later in the broadcast to tell you about what we do here at Diversified Construction.
The appliance pros at Peters Home Appliance Center want to know, has your dishwasher suddenly stopped cleaning well? Are you noticing a white film left on the dishes? It may not be the fault of your dishwasher at all. The problem may be the dishwashing detergent manufacturers have removed phosphates. They suspend soil and soften water, making the detergent work better. Lack of phosphates is most likely the cause of your dishwasher cleaning issue. Until an environmentally friendly replacement for phosphates is found, stay tuned. This helpful tip brought to you by the experts at Peters Home Appliance Center, Market Street, Sunbury.
Geez, look at Harry. Why is he so happy?
Oh, I hate happy people.
Here he comes.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey, Harry.
Did you hear?
Hear what?
I'm going back to school. Lackawanna College, Sunbury Center. I'm pumped.
Excited to go back to school?
Oh, yeah. Great education, small class sizes, close to home.
Expensive.
Not really. It's the most affordable private college in northeastern PA.
Well, aren't you fancy?
I'm making a life change. I can't stay at this job forever.
I want a life change.
Lackawanna College, Sunbury Center. It's life-changing.
Football season's here. Are you watching your favorite team on a small and bulky TV? Would you like to be able to see your team scoring that touchdown up close and personal? At Aaron's Rentals, they can help you take that TV home. Courtney at Aaron's says now's the time to come in and talk to her. There are great specials, no credit check, free setup and delivery, flexible payments, easy pay, and 6 months same as cash. Visit Aaron's new location, 1102 North High Street, Selinsgrove, or aarons.com/Selinsgrove.
Welcome back to Mifflinburg. Kevin here with Coach Jim Kaiser of the Shikellamy Braves as we get ready for this bonus Week 9 game. And when you look at a game like this, this kind of has, you know, even though it's not a playoff game, it's a bonus game, it's a playoff feel, and most coaches think of it as an extra week of practice for a younger team and an opportunity to get more experience. What have you done this week, if anything, a little differently to take advantage of this extra week?
We just tried to have fun this week, knowing it's the seniors' last week. But, you know, we got more kids involved in practice. I shouldn't say more involved, but we had more kids come over to the number one side of the ball a little bit, get some more work. So, you know, we just got some things done with kids that are going to – we're counting on to help us next year.
And those are the kids that are, you know, like you said, are going to be back next year. But how have they improved from week one to week nine?
Oh, it's been huge. These kids really worked hard. There's a lot of kids that have stepped up, you know, with injuries and stuff. We've had kids have to step up all season long. And, you know, kids have they're just starting to get it now, and we're having a lot more fun.
You've had a good group of seniors. It's not a huge group of seniors, but you have a good, solid group of seniors. Not everyone has been able to play a lot of the games due to injury or everything. Talk about those guys and how they've made the transition with this coaching staff.
Oh, they've been great. You know, I feel like I've coached them for 4 years. You know, every last game of the year, you know how I am. It's really hard for me to let go of my seniors. And, you know, I know – it sounds kind of silly with these guys. I've only known them the senior season, but we've been together for 6-7 months now. You know, we started in June, and I feel real close to these guys, and I hope they really enjoyed this senior year. And I'm going to be really sad to see a bunch of these guys go.
You know, tonight is a tough scout because you have the lead rusher for Mifflinburg potentially out for this game. What do you have to look at now? How does it make Mifflinburg different?
Well, again, they've got a pretty nice quarterback. The Wrights kid is a good looking quarterback. He runs the ball well. He throws the ball well. They have a big offensive line. He gives them good time up front. And you know, with our smaller defensive line, you know, a little concerned about them getting a good push up front. But the way that our kids have been playing, I'm pretty confident with the way that we're playing defense right now.
You know, you talked about those smaller than usual guys up front. They're not tiny, but they're smaller than usual for a 3-5. What makes those type of guys tougher to block?
Well, they're so quick and aggressive. And, you know, since Ethan Turber moved down there, he's quick, but he's got a a way of getting through the crease and causing havoc and making sure that you have to get somebody on him. And Isaac Schaefer Knight's just been a stud, I think, all year long. He's powerful lower body, and he really gets up into people's faces and eats up blocks for our backers. And Jared McCormick's done a great job for us coming over from Southern. Does a real great job. Another kid that's really quick off the ball.
When, to me, in the season, the turning point was the Jersey Shore second game, where things started to seem to click a little bit more. Jim, what was it that started to click there, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, that really changed the direction of the program for the rest of the year?
The kids' confidence. They started to get to know us. We started to know them a little bit better. And again, like I said earlier, we're still trying to find a piece of the puzzle. We really didn't know a whole lot about some of these guys. Stuff that we watched on film from previous years and practice, they weren't quite getting things. And then, you know, we'd make kids move. We'd have a kid move here. Fitzgerald moving to safety has been a huge, huge, huge. And Ethan Turber to the line. Isaac Schaefer Knight's from a linebacker to the line. And on the offensive side, you know, Alex Geiser was huge for us, stepping in, playing center for us and filling in there. Now we're actually going to get a chance to put him in his natural position, which is a guard. So he's going to play tonight at guard, and him and Trent Schrader both going to be back at guard next year. So, you know, just getting guys to fill in, and Drew's confidence has grown. So that's been all the things that have clicked that I think that have gotten us to where we are right now.
Jim, really appreciate all the access you give to us to let us do what we do. We've had a fun year, and sorry it has to end right now.
Yeah, me too. Kevin, thank you so much for what you do for our players and for our program. Thank you.
Coach, good luck tonight, and hopefully we'll chat with you again in the fall.
That sounds great.
Or next fall, I should say. You're listening to Braves Basketball on News Radio 1070 WKOK and online with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
It's time to put Wi-Fi where it belongs, everywhere. Replace your router and blanket your whole home with fast, reliable Wi-Fi powered by Plume and SECV. Plume continuously learns about your internet needs and gets better each day. Plume also brings you parental controls, guest access, ad blocking, and security protection from suspicious content and devices, all available at the touch of a button through the Plume app. Call 1-877-955-SECV or visit secv.com/plume to learn more.
Sportsmen, join us at Martz's Gap View Hunting Preserve. Located 15 miles south of Sunbury, Martz's has 1,200 acres of upland game bird hunting habitat and has been an excellent place to enjoy an outdoor family experience since 1957. Martz's also offers continental shoots, sporting clays, wobble trap, and lodging. We thank our veterans for their sacrifices for the greatest country on the planet with special events. Visit us online at martzs.com.
My 84 Corvette is my shrine. I'm super picky about how it looks, and I don't really trust just anyone to shine it up and clean it the way I want until I found Hoopy's Detailing. Hoopy's Detailing is in Sunbury, and Mike, the owner, he treated my car as if it was his own. He was so cautious and, I think, as much of a perfectionist as I am. It's shiny, spotless. He even took care of some paint correction from a summer storm. Get a full detail. That's wash, wax, and interior or exterior only, or any detailing. Book your spot now for Hoopy's Detailing. Race Street, Sunbury. That's H-O-O-P-I-E. S. Hoopy's Detailing on Facebook, too.
At Sunbury Motor Company, the letters SMC mean a lot to us. Those letters stand for a tradition of trust since 1915.
SMC.
Stand for
selling more cars.
And
satisfying more customers.
SMC. It stands for Sunbury Motor Company. And when you need a Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia, you have our lowest price promise. Log on to sunburymotors.com to
see more choices
and
save more cash.
And then you can say, start my car. I'll take it.
SMC.
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Oh, I hate this line. I'm going to be late for work. I just want a cup of good coffee. And I don't have all day to sit here waiting.
Well, good news for you. You can get fresh roasted coffee and treats at Route 11 Coffee and Cream on the Danville Highway. It's going to be the funnest, funkiest coffee shop in the valley with a drive-thru that serves you friendly and fast. So go to their Facebook page now for updates. Route 11 Coffee and Cream on, you know, Route 11, of course, in between Nori and Danville.
In store, at home, or anywhere in between. Now, you decide how to buy your next car, truck, van, or SUV. Conduct the entire process online from the comfort of your home and let us deliver your new vehicle to you. Or begin the experience online and finish it in our store for a quick and easy car buying experience. With never-before-seen incentives, now is the time to buy. All backed by our lowest price guarantee. So start your online digital buying experience today at blazealexander.com. Taking deals the other guys won't.
Let's run down the starting lineups for the 4-4 Mifflinburg Wildcats. It'll be Jacob Wright's at quarterback, the 5'9", 175 senior, 63 of 120, 8 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, 604 yards in the air, has 161 yards on the ground, averaging 3 yards a carry, has 2 passing touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns. Andrew Deal will be the running back, the 5'6", 140-pound sophomore, leads the team with 89 carries for 489 yards and 3 touchdowns. Quinton Doan, the other running back, the 6'2", 245 senior, 10 carries, 32 yards, and a touchdown. The wide receivers, Jacob Bingaman, the 5'5", 145 junior, and Jarrett Miller, the 5'5", 140 sophomore. Cannon Griffith will be the other wide receiver. He has one touchdown reception on the year, averaging 9 yards in a catch for his 6 catches, the 5'11", 156 junior. And Lucas Whitaker is the tight end. Whitaker, a 6-foot, 190-pound sophomore with 3 catches for 39 yards. Across the front, at left tackle, it's Josh Antonuk. Did I get that right, Chief, or did I miss out?
I believe you did okay on that one, Kevin.
Antonuk is the left tackle. He's a 6'3", 260 junior. Troy Dressler, the left guard, a 6'2", 190 freshman. Emmanuel Ulrich is the man in the middle. He's the center, the sophomore, a 5'10", 288 a sophomore. Gabe Stetler is the right guard, a 5'8", 200-pound junior. Cade Dressler, the right tackle, a 6'3", 230 senior. Gabe Stetler will also be the kicker, 15 of 18 in PATs, 1-for-1 with a 28-yard field goal on the year. Whitaker is the long snapper, Wright's the holder. Gabe Stetler also the punter, averaging 32 yards a punt. Defensively for the 3 and 5 Shikellamy Braves, it'll be Jane McCormick at defensive tackle, a 5'10", 175 senior. Isaac Schaefer Knights, the nose, 5'10", 170 junior. Leads the team with 4 forced fumbles this year. Ethan Turber-Ortiz, the 5'10", 195 sophomore, also getting the starting nod tonight. The linebackers, the dogs on the outside, will be Davis Marshall, 6'4", 190 senior, has a sack and a pick, 48 tackles as well on the year. Colton Simcoe, tied for the lead for the team in fumble recoveries with 2, also has a couple of sacks, 61 tackles for the 5'10", 160 junior. The Mike linebacker is Duncan Weir, 6 foot, 180-pound senior, leads the team with 2.5 sacks, and is 8th in the state of Pennsylvania with 97 tackles on the year. Luke Snyder will be the Sam linebacker, a 5'9", 165 freshman, also has 2 fumble recoveries this year and 3 tackles for a loss, going with 1 sack. Gage Wolf, the Will linebacker, a 5'10", 170 junior, with a sack this year and 52 tackles. Drew Balestrini will be the cornerback, the 6 foot 155 senior with a pick this year. John Pfeiffer, the other corner, a 6'1, 165 junior, also has an interception and a forced fumble. Connor Fitzgerald leads the team in interceptions. The safety is 6 foot 170 senior with 2 picks this year. The Shikellamy Braves offensively will have Drew Balestrini at quarterback. Balestrini, 50 of 139, 4 interceptions, 4 touchdowns on the year with 867 yards passing. He has rushed the ball for an average of 6 yards a carry and 6 touchdowns. Gage Wolf is the running back, the 5'10", 170 junior, averaging 3 yards a carry and 2 touchdowns. Isaac Schaefer Knights, the sophomore, coming in with 2 touchdowns on the year from the running back slot. Colton Simcoe, a 5'10", 160 junior, 87 for 253 on the ground with a touchdown, also averaging 4 yards in the air catch. Davis Marshall, the leading receiver, the 6'4", 190 senior, 12 catches, 163, 14 yards a catch. John Pfeiffer is the wide receiver. He's a 6'3", 165 junior, averaging 28 yards a catch and a touchdown. And we might see Connor Fitzgerald at the tight end slot as well. He has a couple of catches this year for a touchdown. Caleb Kashner is the left tackle, the 6'4", 212 junior. Nate Gessner, the left guard, a 5'11", 200-pound senior. Curtis Raker, the center, a 5'11", 225 junior. Trent Schrader is the right guard, 5'10", 207 sophomore. Jared Oaks, the right tackle, a 6'2", 230 senior. John Gittins is back to do the punting and may do the place kicking as well here tonight. for the Wildcats in their 4-4. It'll be Doan, Ulrich, and Antonuk. Let's see. It's going to also be Stettler, Dressler, and Whitaker across the front. Jarrett Miller and Cannon Griffith are the corners. Carter Breed, the safety, along with Andrew Deal. We had to quickly run through that because both teams have made their appearance. And the Braves in their all-white uniforms. Mifflinburg in their navy blue tops and white pants. Kickoff when we return on WKOK and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg, is the lowest price guaranteed, period. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, you're always going to find the lowest price at Blaze Alexander Ford. Check out all our inventory at blazealexanderford.com. And we have one of the largest selections in the state of Pennsylvania on new Fords and pre-owned vehicles. Don't make a $1,000 mistake. Make the drive to Route 45 in Lewisburg, where you're always going to get the most for your trade and the lowest price guaranteed. Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg, taking the deals the other guys.
No heat?
Better call McCreary.
Furnace is broke.
Better call McCreary.
Boiler not boiling?
Better call McCreary.
Heat pump tune up for winter.
Already?
Yep, already.
Better call McCreary.
Service, repair, installations. Call us because we're the best. McCreary's HVAC. Oh, and even R for refrigeration.
Better call McCreary's.
Call 570-473-8815 or on that device of yours. McCreary's HVAC Inc.com.
Better call McCreary's.
You'll see the world of difference at Central Vision Eye Care in the Susquehanna Valley. Conserving and improving your vision with the latest ophthalmic technology is the commitment of Dr. Daniel Facero and Dr. Tara Unsicker-Facero. Central Vision Eye Care is scheduling appointments for their locations in Lewisburg, Milton, and Montoursville. Central Vision Eye Care for vision exams, medical exams, cataract surgery. Central Vision Eye Care, where patients are their focus. See us at centralvisioneyecare.com or call 570-768-4970. That's 570-768-4970. 4970.
Hiking, biking, rowing, running. The game is life, and you're the weekend warrior. You work hard and you play hard. Football, baseball, soccer, golf. To move is to live, and whatever your sport, Shamokin Dam Health Center specializes in total health to keep you in the game. Call 743-4333.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
It's game time, and the team at I'm the Guy Basement Systems is ready to give you a customized game plan to fix your basement's problems. Moisture, seepage, mold, those are serious problems that won't go away on their own. Let ITG help. We offer free inspections to ensure your home is dry and healthy. Visit ITGBasementSystems.com to schedule your free estimate today.
ITG Basement Systems, I'm the guy to make it dry.
At the Schock Law Office, attorney Richard Schock brings over 20 years of experience providing legal services and solutions to individuals, government entities, and businesses both large and small. Serving the greater Susquehanna Valley and now conveniently located just off the strip at 8 Commerce Avenue in Sealance Grove, the Schock Law Office can help you find the legal solutions you need for your life or business. So whether your legal needs involve estate planning, starting or growing a business, developing real estate, or navigating any of the many laws and regulations that affect you or your business, contact the Schock Law Office at 570-492-7133 or on the web at schocklaw.com.
Killeme Braves football on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and online or on your mobile device at WKOK.com.
Welcome back to Mifflinburg. We apologize for a couple of the audio issues. We'll catch up on what's been happening here in a moment. Mifflinburg right now with the football. And rolling out to the near side is going to be the quarterback, Wrights. Wrights to about the 25. And that's where he'll be knocked off his feet, about the 26-yard line. The return was Cannon Griffith, and he got hit hard by Davis Marshall. Got up slow, but did get under, get back to the sidelines under his own power.
Well, that was just nothing more than a quarterback sweep, and Drew Balestrini came up after they strung it out and made the tackle. Like you said, Kevin, it wasn't much of a gain.
Well, spotted at the 28-yard line, a gain of about three. We'll call it second down and eight as going under center is Wrights. Wrights will hand it off, and a little bit of running room right up the gut there for Darup, who I believe gets his first carry of the season and comes to the 35-yard line. It'll be very close to a first down.
Yeah, Balestrini again in a tackle, along with Braden Werman, who's one of those linebacker positions right now, Kevin. I think he's in there for, he's playing the Davis Marshall, where he usually plays at that particular spot.
Third down and one, have to get just beyond the 25-yard line.
That was right up the middle, Kevin. They did a nice job of getting a nice hole off tackle.
Man in motion to the far side. Here comes the handoff, bouncing off of a tackler and bulldogging his way through. Actually, is the big guy, King Dressler, the 6'3", 230-pound tackle, who comes across the 40-yard line, comes up with 6 yards and a first down.
Very unusual to see a number 54 in the backfield, Kevin. But he's not eligible for a pass, is he?
I don't think so.
No, that seems a little strange. But.
And Biffleberg with the ball, first and 10. The pitch coming to the near side, looking for a little bit of running room there as Darup. Darup will have a couple of spin moves to the 40 and then to the 44-yard line. Correct that. That's going to be Tyler Fultz, the senior. But he got popped as he got that 4-yard gain.
Well, it looked like Gage Wolf had him in the backfield, but he slipped out of that tackle, and Jared Oakes came from the opposite side of his tackle spot to take care of that. They've got two offensive linemen in the backfield, Kevin.
They do indeed. And the handoff will go to the second back through, and that one's going to be Darup once again that crosses the 50 right up the middle, Chief,
yep,
to about the Shikellamy 46-yard line. And that'll be good enough for another first down and a gain of about 10.
Well, Drew Balestrini on the tackle. Kevin, it's nothing more than they're running that isolate, but they've got those two big guys in there. I don't have a number 44. I don't have one on there. But 44 and 54 leading the way for that back deep in the backfield.
Yeah, this one is going to be again to Darup. Darup will be bounced around. He'll keep the Pistons going across the 40. He'll still be on his feet down inside the 40-yard line, down to the 37-yard line before Balestrini and a host of Braves finally drag him down with a gain of 8.
Well, Wolf came over along with Oaks, but it's pretty bad when the guy that's making your initial hit is one of your cornerbacks,
yeah.
Kevin. That means they're getting through the line of scrimmage and clearing that second layer of linebackers.
Mifflinburg has yet to throw the ball with 8:43 to go in a scoreless first quarter on their opening drive that started at the 25. And the handoff again, straight up the middle, but this time making the tackle is Oaks, and Oaks will take care of business there.
Yeah, he came clear through. I don't know if he probably got off the block, but he met him pretty much at the mesh point with the handoff, and he picked up a little bit of yardage, but good job by Jared on that. Was a solo tackle.
Mark Lawrence at the helm of WKOK.com tonight. So if you type in WKOK.com and then slash in all capitals scorecard, you'll be able to follow the scores tonight. Or go to WKOK.com and click on the link there. There's the handoff to the big man off the left side. That's going to go to Dressler again. So Kane Dressler picks up the first down and a gain of 3. And make it 4, actually, inside the 35-yard line.
Well, consecutive first downs, 3 in a row here, and they've already used up 4 minutes here on this drive, and now they're starting to get deeper into Shikellamy territory. And it's nothing fancy, is it, Kevin?
Not at all.
That time they put the tailback in motion to the left, but that was kind of – it was supposed to be a decoy because I couldn't figure they weren't going to come right up the middle where they've been going all along with the big guy.
Chief, this might be the first time some of these Braves have seen a power eye formation.
And somebody that big. Now, they don't have as many big guys in the backfield this time.
Shotgun as Wrights takes it off the right side, and he will lean ahead and be drugged down just short of the 30-yard line, a gain of 4 on that first down carry.
Gage Wolf in on the tackle with a couple of other Braves, but – still a nice gain by the quarterback. Picked up, a little bit more than 3 yards on that, and nothing more than an isolate with your quarterback with a couple of guys, you know, leading up in there, your backs.
Second down and 4.
Under 7 minutes now in this quarter. It's a very time-consuming drive here, Kevin.
It is. And there's a run to the left side. Actually, I think that was a throw to the left side. A long handoff to Bingaman. And no. Bingaman races across for a gain of about 10 on a first down.
Well, there was nobody out there, Kevin. The back had been run off, and Colton Simcoe was inside. Now, Colton Simcoe ran him down and made the tackle, but not after he picked the first down. And they're all the way down to the, looks like the 24-yard line, Kevin.
That's where they will take over, or will continue the drive, rather, at the 24-yard line in Chickalamy territory, first and 10.
Pretty impressive drive so far by the Wildcats.
And it's already taken off half the first quarter. Man in motion is Bingaman from the far side, to near side of the far side. And then they'll give it off to, I think that was Darup, and he'll get bounced around, may get back to the line of scrimmage, but not much more after that.
Well, Duncan Weir with the initial hit, but again, the running backs keep those legs going. They're running kind of straight up and down, so you'd think they'd be able to come down easy, but I think it's the strength of these guys bringing them down.
Second down and 10 at the 24-yard line. 5:50 to go, scoreless first quarter, as Mifflinburg changes a couple of players up, and they'll bring Darup back in the backfield. A 6 foot 187 senior, but I'll tell you what, he looks a little bigger than that, especially when he's got a 210-pounder plow in the field. There's a pass, left side, complete to Griffith. Griffith tackled immediately, gain of about 9.
Well, Pfeiffer in on the tackle, but he had quite a cushion on Griffith that time, and Griffith just a little curl pattern made the catch, and it's again third down and about 2, a short 2, Kevin.
Yeah, they actually put him back at the 16-yard line.
Third and 2 now for the Cats.
Well, definitely four down territory here, Kevin.
Shotgun I formation, or I make that I formation no shotgun, and the give to the fullback, and he'll easily get the first down and still push the pile down short of the 10-yard line. And that's going to be Doan. Doan, who has 32 yards on 10 carries coming in and a touchdown, playing like a refrigerator position, is getting that short yardage for them.
They stop him. I mean, he gets the line of scrimmage, but then, you know, the Braves have bodies on him, but, you know, the Mifflinburg linemen are also in there driving. Well, Kevin, knowing from experience when you're a big guy, you got to get their legs out from underneath them, all right?
You're indeed right. Tell me
about it, buddy.
Chop them down.
Yep, and that's what they got to do. They got to start hitting them a little lower. Boy, look at this, Kevin.
And they're going to go 4 quicks now, and Wrights will take the ball off the left side. He's down to the 10-yard line, spun down, and he's going to be very close to the first down marker at about the 4.
Well, Pfeiffer with the tackle from his corner position, but it looks like Mifflinburg's found a little bit of deception that has worked all along, because when he came around that left end after having all those 4 wides, there was nobody there. So good job blocking the corner and getting the defensive backs out of there.
Tell you what, Mifflinburg last week really struggled with this offense, as the quickness of Jersey Shore just didn't let him go anywhere. And now Wrights will have it again, and he will go nowhere. Tackled quickly by Isaac Schaefer Knights from the Sam linebacker position.
Well, Knights was waiting for him, you know, and that's a little bit, makes things a little bit easier. But here comes the big guy in number 44, Kevin.
The problem there, though, is that's a loss of about 4 yards. So instead of second down and 1, you're going to look at third down and about 5 from the 7-yard line now. And the Wildcats will go with the heavy set, or the jumbo, if you will.
Yeah, he's a big lad.
So Doan is back in, a 6 foot, 245 senior. He is the fullback here. Man in motion to the near side. Play fake. Wrights rolling out to the near side. Being chased. Looking. Now he's going to have to run for it. He's got the first down and pushed out of bounds inside the 5 to about the 4-yard line, as pushing him out from his outside linebacker position was Marshall.
Yeah, Davis Marshall. Jared Oaks did the best job he could trying to run him down, but he keeps coming from his right tackle position all the way across the field.
And Marshall was in my head. It just wasn't coming out.
Yeah, also the outside backer on that side. I should say another backer on that inside. I don't know if it was Gage or I'm not sure exactly who it was, but his angle wasn't the best. And, hey, listen, the quarterback for Mifflinburg is pretty fast.
3 minutes left in the first quarter. Mifflinburg with a first and goal. They'll hand it off, and it's going to go to Darup. And Darup will maybe get a yard or two. We'll give him two to the two-yard line.
Well, that was Weir, Fitzgerald, Davis Marshall, and another player. They had four of them on that, so.
Well, actually spotted the three-yard line, so give him a yard on second down and goal from the three. Mifflinburg has had the ball the entire quarter and have mounted a drive of 9 minutes and 30 seconds to this point. Man in motion out of the backfield. They'll go with the heavy, and he goes nowhere at all.
Duncan Weir with the tackle. You're right. Just unassisted. Got his legs that time, and he went down.
Dressler that time had nowhere to go. May have gotten back to the line of scrimmage if they are generous enough to give him another inch or two after that. Well, so third down and goal from the three.
They also did a little bit more stunning that time, Kevin. They had some people moving around in the linebackers, either coming off of a slant by the lineman in front of them, but Weir went right into the hole and made the tackle.
Mifflinburg with an impressive 10-minute drive so far in this first quarter. Now they're going to go right up the middle to Reitz. Reitz is into the end zone. Touchdown, Mifflinburg. 1:51 to go in the first quarter of play, and Mifflinburg strikes first, capping off a 75-yard drive.
Boy, did they do a good job of selling that they were going to run to the left, Kevin. They put all the big guys over in the left. It looked like they were a little bit unbalanced, and they just took the quarterback right up the middle. And to be honest with you, with the binoculars, there was nobody over the center. And so once he took that little right gap, there was no way he wasn't going to get in the end zone. So some good play calling.
Statler with a high snap gets controlled, gets the kick up, and it is through. And Statler will be 16 of 19 on the year. Good job on the hold by Jacob Reitz to get that one down. And with 1:51 to go in the first quarter, Shikellamy trailing Mifflinburg after Mifflinburg's opening drive of 75 yards with three pass plays, the rest of them on the ground with a host of backs, including the quarterback, and takes it 75 yards for the touchdown.
Yeah, 10 minutes and 9 second drive, Kevin. Any coach would take that to go basically, three-fourths of the distance of the football field. So we'll see what the Braves can answer back. I'm sure the coaching staff and I'm sure the defense a little disappointed with that after they played so well in the last two games.
Mifflinburg right now just gashing
power.
Everything right up front,
power.
Giving holes all over the place. Coming up on Sunday, the Steelers visit Jerry World to face the Cowboys. Coverage on 100.9 The Valley begins at 2:25.
But you're a Steelers fan, so.
And the
Jerry
kickoff
World.
Is at 4:25 with Bill Hillgrove, Tom Jokinen, and Craig Wolfley, along with Missy Michaels.
There's a couple of diehard Cowboy fans listening to this game at the fire company. They're not going to be happy you call it Jerry World.
They can have all the fun they want at the end of the game next week if they're able to pull off the upset. That game will be on 100.9 The Valley coming up on Sunday. Mifflinburg ready to kick the ball away, and it will be booted to
Pfeiffer
at the 20-yard line to the 25, moving outside, and he's wrapped up at the 27-yard line, making the 26-yard line, first and 10. Shikellamy with a minute 44 to go in the first quarter, trailing at 7-0 with their first offensive possession and play.
Austin Osman on the tackle. John didn't have very far to go. Good job by the kickoff team, kept in their lanes for Mifflinburg, and there was no place for them to go.
Pfeiffer actually only getting about 10 yards on that return, averages about 19, has a long of 27 this year. Ball in the far hash mark, moving right to left as we view things. Shikellamy in their all-white uniforms with navy blue and maroon trim. Pitch goes into the backfield of the man in motion. It's Schaefer Knights. Schaefer Knights tries to turn it up, and he goes nowhere. Might have lost 2 yards back to the 25-yard line.
Well, number 50 and 52 that time for the Wildcats did a nice job. That's Gabe Stettler and Emmanuel Ulrich with just a nice job. They lost 2 yards on that, trying to run that sweep.
Yeah, and it looked like that one took a little bit longer to develop. They brought in Schaefer Knights in motion, but it just took a long time to develop there, and it just gave Mifflinburg too much of a chance to react. But, boy, these guys up front are big guys. Yeah. 2:45.
They're going to have to hurry, Kevin. They're down to 10 seconds, and they haven't made the play call yet.
2:45, 2:88, 2:60,
yeah.
And the play comes out with five. They'll get in the shotgun with three, and Balestrini will get it off with one. He'll take it to the right side. He'll try to cut it upfield. He's going to go to outside and slide and get to the original line of scrimmage, gain of about two.
54 out there for the Wildcats. I believe he was the one that turned it inside. That's Cade Dressler, the senior, for making the tackle for Mifflinburg.
Right now, at the Blaze Alexander out-of-town scoreboard, it is Southern Columbia 14 and South Williamsport nothing. That game in the first. Shotgun formation for Balestrini on 3rd and 10. Sets up, has time. Now he needs to roll out to the near side. Sets up again, looking long downfield. He's got a man wide open. It's Fitz.
Yeah, two
couldn't quite
open.
Hit him. He had Pfeiffer to the near side. Fitz down the middle of the field. Boy, everybody bit as soon as Balestrini came around the corner and threatened to run.
Yeah, much easier throw to Pfeiffer, which was closer to us, Kevin. But again, you and I are not running away from the Mifflinburg defensive lineman. All right, and he tried to get it to Connor.
And Antonuk was coming. It was coming with thunder and hoof feet, yeah. I can tell you that.
So, again, we know the defense for Mifflinburg's tough because they held Jersey Shore down for three quarters of the game, too. So,
you know, that first drive could be our Shamokin Dam play of the game.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and that one over the head of Gittins. He's going to have to go back to the goal line. Is he going to be able to get this one away? And he did get it away, and it's a pretty decent punt, too. Hits at the 50, takes a Mifflinburg roll to the 45. That goes down as a 55-yard punt almost from where he kicked it anyway.
That, wow. I can't believe what I just saw there. The Mifflinburg player stood over the ball as it was rolling, blocking people. And
it was a little unusual.
I thought if he'd hit it.
It could have been a Shikellamy ball.
It could be Shikellamy's football. You're right. We'll see what after the referee's up. They're changing the
end
football.
Of the quarter. We'll be back with more here from Mifflinburg. 7-0 Wildcats.
For nearly six decades, Hubs Home Oxygen and Medical Supplies has served the home health needs of Central PA with outstanding respiratory services and quality home medical equipment. We provide solutions to enhance the lives of our customers and their loved ones by helping them be safer, more comfortable, and independent at home. With offices in Williamsport, Lewisburg, Lock Haven, Wellsboro, Harrisburg, and Carlisle, there is always a nearby office to help you improve your life. Now open, our new Hubs location in the Susquehanna Valley Mall in Sealands Grove.
Every week, thousands of people from all over the world come through our doors to enjoy a home-cooked meal or just to browse our gift shops. One of the favorite spots that folks like to gather are near our fireplaces, found throughout our restaurant and lobby areas. Ever since Glick's installed the Heat and Glow inserts in fireplace, we've received so many compliments about how warm and inviting they make our store. I'm Steve Culhavey, General Manager of Country Cupboard in Lewisburg, and we're pleased to be able to recommend Glick's Heat and Glow products.
Two series, one for each team, and that was the first quarter. It is Mifflinburg's ball, though, at the 45-yard line of Mifflinburg. 1st and 10 for the Wildcats, leading it 7-0 as we start the second quarter play. Shotgun formation for Wrights. Wrights will send a man in motion, and he'll give it to that man in motion. And racing at full speed to the near side is Hackenberg. And Hackenberg will lose a yard as Pfeiffer makes the tackle.
Kevin, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me that you're running the ball right up the middle between the tackles, and now you try to run a jet sweep and move laterally. I guess maybe they're just testing the winds.
What is it that Coach Hort always used to say? Every time you try and trick them, you end up tricking yourself.
You're right. You're right.
Second down and 11. They'll go with three wide receivers. Shotgun, sidecar to the left. Ball in the near hash mark. Wright's running this one all the way. He will bowl over one tackler and carry another one to the 49-yard line as Pfeiffer makes the tackle, but not before a gain of 6 to bring up a 3rd down and 4.
Yeah, Semko and Pfeiffer both in on that tackle, Kevin, and Luke Snyder also out there. But, you know, that was a fake dive to the right, and the quarterback just came off the left tackle, and again, nobody met him until he was 5 yards down the field.
We haven't even had a chance to tell you about our Blaze Alexander Ford Tough game of the week yet tonight, and that game is the one that will be for the District 4 4A Championship, Jersey Shore and Shamokin. To the near side, it's Wrights again. He has stood up as soon as he hit the line of scrimmage. Still trying to bull his way forward. Might have gotten a yard. It'll be 4th down and a long 3 for Mifflinburg from the 48-yard line of Shikellamy.
You know, I wonder sometimes, Kevin, if are you allowed to grab your running back if you're an offensive lineman and take him along with you? Because there's a, it almost looks like a rugby play all the time.
Yeah, yeah, you do see a lot of that at the upper levels.
Well, the Braves three and out this time if Mifflinburg punts it.
If
here.
Indeed it is a punt.
So yes, that was a good defensive stand by the Braves.
And it looks like we have a change at punter, and Mifflinburg may talk about this one. They are going to talk about it. They'll take a timeout. Ready to punt the ball was Osmond.
They're putting the offense back in.
But I think you're right. I think they're going to try and go for this on third, a fourth down and three from the 47-yard line with a 7-0 lead, 10:03 to go here in the first quarter. Again, our Blaze Alexander Ford Tough Game of the Week is Shamokin at Jersey Shore. That game being played up at the shore tonight in the PIAA District 4 4A Championship. Blaze Alexander Ford, where it's worth the drive to Route 45.
I can't imagine, when you call timeout for a punt, if you're not going to, you know, put the offense back in. And the quarterback is in the huddle right now, Kevin, so that would be Jacob Wright. I've been very impressed with his running ability so far, Kevin. But, you know, those guys up front are pretty big.
The offense.
Yep.
Wrights is back in. Wrights, the 5'9", 175 senior on this fourth down and three. Mifflinburg has to get to the Shikellamy 45-yard line. I'll tell you what, Shikellamy can stop this one. We could be looking at the Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game.
Look at the two horses that are in the backfield.
Power eye formation with the two big guys in the back. It's going to be a handoff right side, and he goes nowhere. Darab met all immediately off the right side. Weir was there to make the first contact, and also helping out there was Raker.
Yeah, number two. There was a lot of people met him there, so that was great. That's a situation where power running, all right, almost guarantees them 3 or 4 yards, and that time they got nothing on it, Kevin. So good defensive stand by the Braves.
They were averaging 5 to 6 yards every time they ran that in that first series that lasted 10 minutes, Chief. Not that time. Braves defense standing up.
Their coach, I would agree with what he did.
I would have, too. I would have, too. You haven't stopped it yet. Challenge them. And they man up to the challenge. Over to the left side. Nothing there at all for the running back, Colton Semkoe.
44. I don't have his name, Kevin. That's who made the tackle. Quentin Doan.
Yeah, we had him listed as 60.
60. So yeah. Quentin Doan is 44. And he was in the backfield almost as soon as the snap was made.
Well, he's played a lot of time in the backfield, only on the offensive side of the ball for Mifflinburg. Yeah. He's one of the fullbacks in that power eye.
It looks like they're playing a 3-5, and he's one of the down linemen.
Pfeiffer has a huge mismatch here to the near side, and that's where they're looking right now. Pfeiffer gets the out, caught it. Oh, he had to extend to get it, though, and he caught it at the 49-yard line. Chief, we talked about this as we were setting up. This is one of those fields like Jersey Shore that has a huge crown. And when you're in the middle of the field, you throw the ball to the sidelines. You're throwing the ball literally about 3 feet higher than when you release it. And you could see it on that pass play, and it just gave no chance there for Pfeiffer to really do anything with the ball after the catch of about four.
Jarrett Miller did a nice job of getting his shoulders into Pfeiffer's waist and wrapping his arms, too.
Third down and about six from the Mifflinburg 49. Balestrini back to pass. Sets up with some time. Got to roll out to the far side now, trying to find somebody open. Zips one down. It's complete to Pfeiffer at the 35 for a first down. Good pass play.
Good job by Drew to get out of the pocket, get to the left, and then pull up, get his shoulders squared as he's going to the left as being a right-handed passer, and a nice job by Pfeiffer to do that little out over there and get open, and it was right on the money. And, of course, if it's right on the money, we can almost guarantee that John Pfeiffer's going to catch it.
15 yards and a first down for the Braves at the Mifflinburg 34-yard line. Shikellamy trailing at 7-0 with 8:10 remaining here in the second quarter of play already. Four wide receivers, shotgun, sidecar right, Weir coming in motion to the near side. They're going to fake it to Weir. Flag flies. Screen pass thrown into the ground. Semkoe had no chance, but it didn't really matter. This one's coming back. I think Weir might have taken off too early and might have made a step forward before he went in motion.
I think somebody else moved after
he went
in motion.
Oh, you're right. It is the illegal shift. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's what happened, Kev.
Good call.
You know, because he went in motion right away, and as soon as he got to where the quarterback was, they threw the flags. I think somebody else moved.
That will be a 5-yard penalty, taking it back to the Mifflinburg 39-yard line. First and 15 now, 8 minutes to go here in the second quarter. Service Electric halftime report coming up. Not a whole lot of scores to go through tonight, but we'll go through what ones we have, and of course, any of the recap from this game. Pfeiffer to the near side, man-to-man coverage. That's the wide side of the field. Balestrini looking. He's going to go to the middle of the field. He's going to go to Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer's got a step. Pfeiffer can't quite get to that one. Really good coverage, though, by Miller, who actually gives up about 7 inches to Pfeiffer, and then that one was thrown to the outside shoulder. If it's in the inside shoulder, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, if he would have ran the seam, if he would have ran where the hash mark should be, he was wide open because the other defensive back was nowhere near.
He had a step on him to the inside, but when that ball was thrown to the outside, that's when it went right into Miller's, his hands and his play. He actually does have an interception return for a touchdown this year, Jared Miller, the 5'5", 140-pound sophomore. Three receivers near side, second down and 15.
That's another. We're
flag
in motion
flies
again.
Yep. Balestrini fakes the pass. Now he got back to the first down marker. Slides to the 20-yard line. And a lot of bodies fly in there late as Balestrini slides and gives himself up. But, again, all for naught as this one's going to come back.
They had three wides over here, and they weren't set. They were looking at each other, and they finally got in position as the ball was snapped.
Well, and that's one of those situations as a quarterback, you've got to see that your receivers aren't set there. So that's one of those things that may have been Drew getting a little bit too excited there to snap that ball.
Well, now it's going to be second and 20.
It will be second and 20 from the Mifflinburg 44-yard line, 7:44 remaining here in this second quarter after a literal 15-minute first quarter. Second quarter is being more normal, we'll call it. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far side, moving left to right in the middle of the field. Balestrini with a sidecar right. He will take the play, coming out to the near side, thinking about throwing. Now a late pitch to Simcoe. Simcoe to the 35-yard line, and flags fly in the backfield again. This one may be the third straight play with a penalty against the Braves. That's
probably a hold, Kevin. The
it's
way
in
it
that
was,
vicinity.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the Braves came into this game.
Yep.
Braves came into this game with only 36 penalties, averaging 4.5 penalties a game. They've had 4 penalties here on this drive.
So that's going to be second and 30, Kevin.
Yes,
pretty soon. A 5-yard penalty, a 5-yard penalty, and a 10-yard penalty, and three successive snaps by the Braves.
Shigalimi's going to end up having to take a bus to get a first down.
This is usually where Drew Balestrini's at his best.
Well, he did have a good run there earlier before the flag brought it back. So now we'll go back all the way to the Shikalimi 47-yard line.
That was an option play that time, Kevin. We haven't seen
year. That's the first time we've seen it. Three receivers near side. That's the short side of the field. Balestrini with the ball. Has time. Looks. Now he steps up in the pocket. Now he's going to run. Cuts it outside to the 50, to the 45, down the sideline to the 40, and sneaks out of bounds at the 38-yard line. It'll be a third down and 14 from the 30, we'll call it the 39.
Well, he picked 16 yards up on that, Kevin. Normally that's enough to get a first down.
Well, half of it back.
Yeah, a little bit more than half.
That's all you can ask. We'll keep an eye on that Blaze Alexander Ford Tough game of the week for you down at Southern Columbia. Between Southern Columbia and South Williamsport, and in the first quarter, it is 21-0 Southern Columbia. Man in motion is Fitz to the near side. Back to pass. Balestrini pressure. He's rolling out to the near side. Throws a stiff arm. Now he's going to go to the 40. Tiptoes down the sidelines. They'll mark him out of bounds at the 46-yard line. It'll bring up a fourth down and about 13 for the Braves.
No, he had no time to find any receivers, Kevin. As soon as he faked the handoff to Fitzgerald as he came through in motion, there were people all over him again. So I would punt if I were these guys.
Blaze Alexander, four tough game of the week in the first quarter. Jersey Shore 19, Shamokin nothing. Shamokin has been involved in some really crazy scoring games.
Yeah.
Lots of safeties in Shamokin games. Jersey Shore with 19. Here comes the punt now from Gittins. Back deep for Mifflinburg is going to be Miller. Gittins will get it away. It does not turn over, though. It's going to hit at about the 15 and roll down to at the 11-yard line. So not a bad punt. It's going to put you right where you want it to be, long field.
And Duncan Weir with the touch that down there. Very nice punt by John Gittins, Kevin. I don't think, you know, that you get it inside the 10-yard line or close to the 10-yard line, you're doing a pretty good job.
Problem, though, is that drive for the Braves started at the Mifflinburg 47-yard line, and it ended at the Mifflinburg 37-yard line, but in the meantime went back into Shikellamy territory at one point.
Oh, man. Well, it's just one of those things, the two penalties for illegal shift and the holding penalty killed them.
Ball at the 11-yard line for Mifflinburg, first and 10. 7-0 lead, 6:52 to go. Here's the handoff, right side. That's going to be to the big guy, Doan. And Doan will come up with about 3 yards, second down and 7, well, just short of the 15.
Gage Wolf is the one that made the initial hit, and then Duncan Weir and Drew Balestrini came up. But that was almost like a counterplay, and they pulled, and Gage did a nice job of stepping into the hole and making initial contact. And he was giving up a little bit of height and weight, too, on that tackle.
Jacob Wrights came to the sidelines and to get the play from Coach Tressler, and coming over was Piper as well to see if he could hear a little bit of it. Gamesmanship there. Griffith to the near side. I formation behind the quarterback. Straight drop for Wrights. Sets up. Fires it. And it is complete to the tight end. Lucas Whitaker on the right side. Good enough for a first down. Gain of 11. They'll spot that one at the 25-yard line. That was just a nice little pitch and toss.
He found a little spot in the seam there between the outside backer and the defensive back between Balestrini and Davis Marshall. And nice touch.
And an official's timeout for an equipment issue. 5:58 to go here in the first half of play. Service Electric halftime report coming up with scores from around the region. We'll also give you the highlights of this first half. And right now the highlight is that first drive for Mifflinburg. Clock winding with 5:45 to go in the half. Wrights under center. Hands the ball off. And a running room there. A little bit of it for Darup. Darup will come up to the 27-yard line. We'll give him a gain of 2, maybe 3. Actually, well, they're going to say 4 now. Yeah,
Luke Snyder slid over from his linebacker position along with Duncan Weir to make the tackle. But, you know, it looked like he was going to be met at the line of scrimmage. But actually, I think it was a little bit farther because, you know, the tackle was pretty sure. He stopped him once they made contact.
Unusual night tonight here in Mifflinburg. No jackets needed on the sidelines for a November game. There's the pitch coming to the near side, looking for a little bit of running room. There is Fultz, and Fultz will find nothing. And they quickly whistle this one as wrapping him up was Colton Simcoe. And they'll give him a gain of 1 to the 30-yard line, but I think that's kind of generous.
Yeah, that is. Colton's been playing that outside backer position really tough. I mean, he had two guys coming at him, on that power sweep, and he fought through him, and then he made a nice tackle. He was a little high up around his shoulders, but he stopped him in his tracks.
He would be the right side dog in this 3-5. His job is to make sure nobody gets outside.
Big play here for the Braves.
Third down and 5 with 4:28 to go, trailing at 7-0. Shotgun formation, back to pass, Wrights has time, fires to the middle of the field, incomplete. His intended receiver fell. He was trying to get it to number 3, Bingaman. Bingaman, the junior, slipped and fell, and that one was in danger of being intercepted. But Bingaman actually did a decent job on the ground to keep the defender from getting over top of him. I think it was Weir that was actually covered him.
It was, I think Weir might have been in front of him, but Fitzgerald was the one that came up
from the safety spot.
He's the one that could have stepped in front. The ball was thrown a little low. All right, so, but, you know, again, the Braves with another stop here.
Osman to punt the ball away.
Nice punt.
Balestrini will look at it, wave for a fair catch, and he got run into, but it was he was blocked.
No.
The player was blocked, actually, into him.
I don't think I'm not sure. It looks like maybe you might be right, because it looks like that left arm.
I think that
arm,
was the only difference.
The left arm went out. So, but luckily that ball didn't hit the ground and bounce up and hit him
right.
or Fitzgerald was there right next to him.
I think Fitzgerald was the one that blocked the Mifflinburg player into him. And at the 43-yard line, it'll be first and 10 for Shikellamy. 4:10 remaining in the half and all four timeouts available. Or three timeouts, rather, available. You don't get any bonus timeouts. And coming to the near side is Balestrini. Balestrini gets hit at the 45-yard line and then knocked out of bounds for a gain of 11.
Well, they did a great job of sealing the corner. And, again, Davis Marshall out here from his wide receiver spot did a little shadow boxing or blocking to get him the rest of the yardage. So that's a first down.
And it will be a gain of 11 for 3:50 remaining here in the second quarter of play. Shikellamy trying to get on the board and tie this one up, but they will get the the ball to start the second half. Mifflinburg won the toss, elected to receive. I second guessed myself right at the end of that, Chief.
Yeah, I had to think for a second there also.
Fitz in motion, fakes it to him, and now it'll be Balestrini right up the gut to the 40, inside the 40 to just short of the 35, 36, make it the 37 yard line as they keep moving to the left.
Well, Colton Semko from his halfback position flared out there and did a nice job on the corner and blocked, and then Drew read that perfectly and stepped it up inside, you know, to take right off where the tight end is and picked up 8 yards. That's well executed play by the Braves.
Second down and 3 from the 38-yard line. Clock winding with 3 minutes to go. 4 receivers, shotgun, sidecar left. Fitzgerald coming in motion. They'll fake it to him. Swinging out to Semko. Semko tried to run with it before he got it. That's a fumble, and that one is going to be recovered by Mifflinburg. That was a backward pass. We had a good look of it right down the line, and Semko left it go, and then jumping on it was Ulrich, and Mifflinburg gets the first turnover of the game.
That's a shame for the Braves. They had some things going here. They had a 12-yard run and an 8-yard run. Then they tried to, you know, fake that jet sweep to Fitzgerald and hit Simco on a flare pass to the left. And the pass, it's one of those, it didn't look smooth. It was like, you standing 4 feet from me, and I'm throwing the ball as hard as I can at you.
Well, and Simco did look away with it, a look downfield a little earlier than I think normally would.
Yeah. Any way you look at it, it's Mifflinburg's in business at their own 41.
4 receivers in the diamond formation. This has screen written all over it, and it goes to Bingaman. Shikellamy read it very, very well, and immediately making the tackle for the Braves. That was
Duncan
Ethan Turber Ortiz.
Duncan Weir Ortiz and Luke Snyder was also there, Kevin.
Loss
like you
one.
Said, they read that very well.
Well, that's one that they saw on film, I guarantee you, because they reacted to it as soon as they saw the diamond formation and knew that was going to be the wide receiver screen. They actually had some success with that a week ago against Jersey Shore.
I got the jumbo backfield in there, Kevin.
Welcome to the Mount Carmel Power Eye.
I wonder where they were going to go back to this.
It was successful earlier, and the first back through has a big gain off the left side across the 50 to the 49-yard line as Dressler picks up what is about 10 yards and will bring up a fourth down, or third down rather, in one.
Semko made the tackle from his outside backer spot, but he was, you know, he tackled him 9 yards past the line of scrimmage. Yeah, it's just a quick hitter. It's a guard trap. When your fullback's about 210 pounds and he hits that hole, man, you better get some bodies on him, but they didn't.
Power eye again on this third and one. It's going to go to him once again. He's got the first down at the 48-yard line. Actually, it's going to be Darup this time on the carry.
Well, that time they used the big guy as a blocking back, but he did get the first down.
You know, we keep saying big guy, but Darup listed at 187. He's not tiny either.
No.
He looks a little conservative at 187.
Mifflinburg's got some solid kids out there. I mean, they've got a nice offensive line and defensive line, and, you know, they hold up very well, Kevin.
First and 10, back to pass. And he'll fire it right down the sidelines, and it is incomplete in the hands of Griffith, and then right through. Decent coverage by Pfeiffer, but that ball was right on the money, Chief.
He threw that exactly where he needed to. It was over the outside shoulder of the receiver, and he got John Pfeiffer turned around, and when he turned back, the ball was already being delivered. Braves lucky that went through his hands, Kevin.
Two timeouts remaining, second down and 10 for Mifflinburg with a minute 6 remaining here in the first half. Mifflinburg taking their opening drive, 75 yards for the touchdown. Actually, I think they're going to have one timeout remaining because they're going to take one of them right now.
Timeout. Wildcats.
And that is exactly what happened.
You take away the first that first quarter, which was the entire drive by Mifflinburg, 75 yards and over 10 minutes used up, and the Braves' defense has played fairly, have played pretty good. They played like they usually been playing, but you know that was a big drive by the Wildcats, and the Braves haven't been able to catch up yet.
In the PIAA District 4 Quad A Championship game, Jersey Shore leading Shamokin now 26-0 in our Blaze Alexander Ford Tough game of the week.
You know, Jersey Shore has do we want to use the word struggled the last three games? The Braves played
except
them tough.
Mifflinburg. They handled that one pretty well.
But Mifflinburg played them very well for a big part
of
the game.
For about a quarter and maybe about two quarters.
And they're the number one team in 4A in the state. They're rated number one. And I'm sure that it was just a matter of time before they got their mojo back.
I think they got it back here tonight against Shamokin, and having home field advantage, that home field is an advantage for Jersey Shore. Minute six to go, and Mifflinburg in a shotgun with right, sidecar left, straight drop, four-man rush, fires it, complete to the near side to Griffith. Griffith gets out of bounds. They'll spot him at the 25-yard line. It'll be a gain of about 14.
I would almost make a guess that Cannon Griffiths, if he's the same basketball player as the brother of the twin Griffiths girls that were the great basketball players for the Mifflinburg Wildcat girls, and his mom, Kelly.
I believe you are correct.
Yep.
Wright's in the shotgun, back to pass, looking, has time. Now the pressure breaks down. He's got to come to the outside, and Weir will hog time down at the 25-yard line, gets back to the line of scrimmage, and the clock will wind with 48 seconds remaining. Mifflinburg with only one timeout left, and they are not really in overly hurry-up mode, although they'll go right to the line of scrimmage, and Braves will make a quick change. And coming back, and Braves had to call a timeout. They did not have an opportunity to make the switch, and it is not an issue in high school. It is an issue in college where you have to allow the defense to make a play or make a change. Not in high school, and Coach Kaiser not happy about having to use that timeout and giving Mifflinburg an opportunity to stop the clock.
And, I think that's the part that really hurts is the fact that, you know, he has to stop the clock and give Mifflinburg a little bit better chance to decide what they're going to do here. And we've watched their quarterback. You know, number two, he can get the ball down the field. He's got a good arm on him, and he's also like Balestrini. He's hard to get a good hit on when he's back there in the pocket. Although this last time, we were watching him, and he started to get a little bit of happy feet there when people weren't open, and he was getting a little pressure.
Chief, a little bit of an update from CBS News and WKOK News. Georgia election officials say there are still over 8,400 military and overseas ballots that could be counted if they arrive on time. No word yet on how many of those have arrived on time. And, of course, you can see updates from CBS online at WKOK.com. We'll have updates as well on Facebook. Shotgun formation, second down and 10 from the 35-yard line of Shikellamy. 32 seconds left. Pressure coming. Wrights has to step up. Fires it. Wobbly pass, and it is almost intercepted. Or was it intercepted on the backside? No. Pfeiffer said he picked it off. Now the official says it's an interception. A late call as Pfeiffer was holding the ball out, and that ball is picked off at about the 15-yard line.
Kevin, you and I standing here can see it, and you know when you start to second guess yourself when they don't make the call right away. But Pfeiffer stepped in front. And there was a nice collision down there with Balestrini and the receiver and Pfeiffer came up with the ball.
There were actually three defenders there that I thought had a shot at that one.
That ball had some mustard on
sure
it, too,
did.
When it went down there by the quarterback.
26 seconds remaining and two timeouts for the Braves. On the ball at their own 15-yard line. Under center is Balestrini. Balestrini will take a knee because they are going to get the ball to start the second half. So why take any chances with the ball that deep in your own territory? And believe it or not, it is 7:46 p.m., and we're at halftime here in Mifflinburg. It is Mifflinburg 7, Shikellamy nothing. You're listening to Braves Football on News Radio 1070 WKOK and online with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
I'm Art Thomas, president of Diversified Construction. Bathroom modifications, outside ramps and vertical platform lifts, stair glides and door widenings are some of the construction services we provide. Our certified aging-in-place specialist can meet with your family to discuss projects that keep people living where they want to be. Don't wait for a crisis situation. Diversified Construction can help keep you safe at home. Visit our website, check out our Facebook page, and call us today for a free site visit and consultation. Diversified Construction, proud to be the consumer's choice.
Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. During this time, we are operating under the guidance of the PA Insurance Department. Most of our staff continues to work from home to practice social distancing for the safety of our staff and clients. Our office remains open and available to service our current and new clients by phone, by calling 570-286-5855, email, and by appointment. Our after-hours emergency service is also ready to assist our clients with their needs. From the team at Purdy Insurance, stay safe, be well, be kind, and know that we remain dedicated to the highest levels of service to protect what matters most.
Zimmerman's Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram on Route 61 in Sunbury has always put the customer first. Bob Zimmerman and his staff always do their best to break the stereotype. Every new vehicle comes with a bumper-to-bumper warranty for 3 years or 36,000 miles and a powertrain warranty for 5 years or 60,000 miles. Even longer warranties are available direct from the manufacturer. Zimmerman's is the full-service dealership you want. Convenience is the final reason why at Zimmerman's Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram you are sure to drive away smiling. Football season's here. Are you watching your favorite team on a small and bulky TV? Would you like to be able to see your team scoring that touchdown up close and personal? At Aaron's Rentals, they can help you take that TV home. Courtney at Aaron's says now's the time to come in and talk to her. There are great specials, no credit check, free setup and delivery, flexible payments, easy pay, and 6 months same as cash. Visit Aaron's new location, 1102 North High Street, Selins Grove, or aarons.com/Selins Grove.
Hiking, biking, rowing, running. The game is life, and you're the weekend warrior. You work hard and you play hard. Football, baseball, soccer, golf. To move is to live, and whatever your sport, Shamokin Dam Health Center specializes in total health to keep you in the game. Call 743-4333.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
This is the Service Electric Cablevision Halftime Report, a recap of the first half of the game and a look at scores from across the region. Now, from the stadium, here's Kevin Herr and the Chief, Dave Ritchie.
Welcome back to Mifflinburg. Kevin Herr along with the Chief, Dave Ritchie, as the man said. It is halftime here in Mifflinburg, while the Wildcats leading by a score of 7-0. And they did it on their opening drive. They took the ball from the opening kick, sat it out at the 25-yard line, and marched it 75 yards in 10 minutes. The drive took almost the entire first quarter. Wrights ran it in from 3 yards out, and the Braves were trailing it right before they even got a chance to touch the football. Mifflinburg had a 7-0 lead with the extra point. Braves then went and punted. Mifflinburg drove the ball into Shikanomi territory where he turned it over on downs. Braves had the ball at the Mifflinburg 47-yard line with 9:58 to go in the second quarter. And the Braves ended up going the wrong direction. Ended up having to go all the way back to about their own 40-yard line before they had to punt the ball away after three straight plays with penalties that amassed over 20 yards. At that point, it was another Mifflinburg punt. And then the Shikellamy fumble on a pass play to Simcoe. Simcoe was unable to catch the swing pass. It was behind the line of scrimmage. It turned into a fumble, but then the Braves got the turnover right back as the drive started at the 41-yard line of Mifflinburg, and Pfeiffer ends up intercepting the ball at the 15-yard line on a pass from Wrights, and the Braves then went to zero on the turnover ratio for the game, one turnover apiece, and knelt on the ball, and went into the halftime locker room trailing at 7-0 because they get the ball to start the second half, Chief. You know, it was the quickest first half I have ever experienced in a high school game.
I think the last time was the opening game last year up at Danville.
I think this was quicker than that one.
You might be right.
By about 10 minutes, to be honest with you.
Well, that drive, I mean, there was no the clock ran. The passes were all complete.
Yep.
The ball was kept in bounds the entire time, so it doesn't take long to run off 10 minutes if there's no stoppage in the clock. And, you know, I think you're going to be right, Kevin. That drive by Mifflinburg all put together might be the Shamokin Dam
Health Center's
backbreaker drive of the game. You're right.
The backbreaker drive of the game, indeed.
Well, maybe we can get more money advertising if we have the backbreaker play and the backbreaker drive.
Well, we do thank all those folks that you hear during the broadcast. They're the ones that make it possible for us to be your ticket to the game. And we thank those folks for joining us, and especially thank you for joining us as well.
Especially this year,
this
the way things have
been.
This
has been a year like no other, and if I've heard that once, I've heard it a million times. Let's take a look at our halftime scores in the District 4 4A championship game. They're still in the second quarter with Jersey Shore leading Shamokin 33-0. Southern Columbia in the District 4 2A championship game, shutting out South Williamsport 35-0 that game in the second quarter. Also going on tonight, Line Mountain was scheduled to play the Boiling Springs Bubblers, but COVID bubbled up in Boiling Springs, and they had to change that game around. Penns Valley is the team that Lime Mountain is playing tonight. And in the Class 4 3A championship game, it is Danville taking on Montoursville. That'll be tomorrow afternoon up in Montoursville. And how many years has it been in a row that the 3A championship game has come up to Danville and Montoursville? Time and time again.
Oh, they've been two of the greatest programs in that particular part of the district, and I'm sure that they probably know each other very well over the time periods that they've had to do this.
Yeah, there have been a lot of District 4 championship games that Montoursville has snuck away with the win and then gone up to Scranton Prep in the interdistrict play and took their lumps there up there in District 2.
The key is it's Scranton Prep.
Right. That's exactly right. We'll have a look at the stats of tonight's game when we return. It's 7-0 Mifflinburg at the half. This is the Service Electric Halftime Report.
It's time to put Wi-Fi where it belongs. Everywhere. Replace your router and blanket your whole home with fast, reliable Wi-Fi powered by Plume and SECV. Plume continuously learns about your internet needs and gets better each day. Plume also brings you parental controls, guest access, ad blocking, and security protection from suspicious content and devices, all available at the touch of a button through the Plume app. Call 1-877-955-SECV or visit secv.com/plume to learn more.
I can still remember the kids rolling around on that comfortable living room carpet.
Remember when they were babies, they'd bang those pots and pans on the kitchen tile?
I still remember the sounds of soccer and baseball cleats running on those hardwoods. And you yelling, "Leave the shoes outside!"
These floors have seen a lot, and they still look so good. They've got some good years left on them.
Just like we do, honey. Right?
You bet, my dear, you bet.
Carpet Man in Milton.
Flooring for life.
Saving money on your next vehicle is as easy as SMC.
Sunbury Motor Company.
Since 1915, SMC provides total commitment to complete customer satisfaction.
Sunbury Motors sells and services new Fords, Lincolns, and Hyundais in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And new Kias on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf. No one beats Sunbury Motor Company's lowest price promise. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. SMC, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Geez, look at Harry. Why is he so happy?
Oh, I hate happy people.
Here he comes.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Harry.
Did you hear?
Hear what?
I'm going back to school. Lackawanna College, Sunbury Center. I'm pumped.
Excited to go back to school?
Oh, yeah. Great education, small class sizes, close to home.
Expensive.
Not really. It's the most affordable private college in northeastern PA.
Well, aren't you fancy?
I'm making a life change. I can't stay at this job forever.
I want a life change.
Lackawanna College, Sunbury Center. It's life-changing.
Let's take a look at our halftime stats as Mifflinburg has a halftime lead 7-0 here at Wildcat Stadium. Well, they've done it all on the ground for the most part as Wrights with 9 carries, 27 yards, and the lone touchdown of the game. Darab with 9 carries for 33 yards. Dressler, the big guy, coming in with 4 carries for 19 yards. Doan has a couple of carries for 5, so does Fultz. That's 26 carries, 89 yards, and a touchdown. Passing, Wright's an impressive 5 of 8, 1 interception, 39 yards. The leading receiver, Griffith, with 2 catches for 21. There are 34 total plays for Mifflinburg. Now here's Shikellamy's numbers. Ballastrini, 5 carries, 36 yards. Simcoe with 3 carries for minus 2. Schaefer Knights with a carry for minus 1. Ballastrini, 2 of 4, 20 yards. All of those receiving yards going to Pfeiffer. Two first downs for the Braves in the first half. 52 yards total offense to 128 for Mifflinburg. Total plays, Shikellamy, 14. Mifflinburg, 34. Literally more than double the plays that the Braves have had here in this first half tonight, but lucky to be only trailing it by a score of 7-0. And the big difference is the turnovers. Shikellamy with a fumble by Simcoe and Pfeiffer with the interception to stop a Mifflinburg drive right before the half. The other interesting stat here that I think is first downs. Shikellamy with only 2 first downs, but Mifflinburg getting all but about 2 of those first downs of their 8 on that first drive, Chief.
Well, that's the first drive is the ball game.
That's it.
I mean, since then, the Braves' defense has played fairly well. I mean, they've done an excellent job of you know, I think there was 3 different times that, or 2 times they were 3 and out, and one time when they went for 4th down and the Braves stopped them. But not that first quarter. That was a very long, sustained, time-consuming drive, and the Braves haven't recovered from that yet.
Well, they're going to try and get something squared away in the halftime locker room. They'll get the ball to start the second half. At the half right now, the Service Electric Halftime Report. It's 7-0 Mifflinburg on WKOK and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
Sportsmen, join us at Martz's Gap View Hunting Preserve. Located 15 miles south of Sunbury, Martz's has 1,200 acres of upland game bird hunting habitat and has been an excellent place to enjoy an outdoor family experience since 1957. Martz's also offers continental shoots, sporting clays, wobble trap, and lodging. We thank our veterans for their sacrifices for the greatest country on the planet with special events. Visit us online at martzs.com.
I admit it, my SUV is like the messiest vehicle on the planet. I'm that car that no one wants to ride along in. Getting the inside of this baby clean was way beyond possible, I thought. Until I found Hoopy's Detailing right here in Sunbury. The owner, Mike, personally fully cleans and vacuums your car's interior, and it is spotless. He's a perfectionist and treats your car like it's a luxury vehicle, no matter how messy. Book your spot now for Hoopy's Detailing, Race Street, Sunbury. That's Hoopies Detailing. Hoopy's Detailing. Find them on Facebook.
Attention homeowners, did you know you can help keep your appliances working efficiently? The appliance experts at Peters do. If you're not vacuuming under and behind your refrigerator at least twice a year, you're robbing your refrigerator's ability to run efficiently as it can. What's worse, if left undone, your refrigerator can overheat, causing failure. That's because your refrigerator relies on proper air circulation to dissipate heat energy being removed from inside. Peters Home Appliance Center has the answers to all your home appliance needs. They've been helping appliance shoppers over 50 years. Peters Home Appliance Center, Market Street, Sunbury.
Oh, I hate this line. I'm going to be late for work. I just want a cup of good coffee. And I don't have all day to sit here waiting.
Well, good news for you. You can get fresh roasted coffee and treats at Route 11 Coffee and Cream on the Danville Highway. It's going to be the funnest, funkiest coffee shop in the valley with a drive-thru that serves you friendly and fast. So go to their Facebook page now for updates. Route 11 Coffee and Cream.
On, you know,
Route 11, of course, in between Norrie and Danville.
In-store, at home, or anywhere in between. Now, you decide how to buy your next car, truck, van, or SUV. Conduct the entire process online from the comfort of your home and let us deliver your new vehicle to you. Or begin the experience online and finish it in our store for a quick and easy car buying experience. With never-before-seen incentives, now is the time to buy. All backed by our lowest price guarantee. So start your online digital buying experience today at blazealexander.com. Taking deals the other guys won't.
Quick rundown on the scoreboard here tonight in the 4A championship game. It is Jersey Shore leading Shamokin 40-0. That one's still in the second quarter. The 2A championship game, Southern Columbia leading South Williamsport 42-0. Again, in the second. Danville Montoursville will be tomorrow afternoon. Also going on tonight, Line Mountain and Penns Valley. Mifflinburg and Shikellamy have made their reappearance on the field, and the Braves will get the ball to start the second half next.
This has been the Service Electric Cablevision Halftime Report. The second half kickoff is coming up next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hiking, biking, rowing, running. The game is life, and you're the weekend warrior. You work hard and you play hard. Football, baseball, soccer, golf. To move is to live, and whatever your sport, Shamokin Dam Health Center specializes in total health to keep you in the game. Call 743-4333.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg, is the lowest price guaranteed, period. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, you're always going to find the lowest price at Blaze Alexander Ford. Check out all our inventory at blazealexanderford.com. And we have one of the largest selections in the state of Pennsylvania on new Fords and pre-owned vehicles. Don't make a $1,000 mistake. Make the drive to Route 45 in Lewisburg, where you're always going to get the most for your trade and the lowest price guaranteed. Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg, taking the deals the other guys won't.
I'm Art Thomas, president of Diversified Construction. Bathroom modifications, outside ramps and vertical platform lifts, stair glides and door widenings are some of the construction services we provide. Our certified agent-in-place specialist can meet with your family to discuss projects that keep people living where they want to be. Don't wait for a crisis situation. Diversified Construction can help keep you safe at home. Visit our website, check out our Facebook page, and call us today for a free site visit and consultation. Diversified Construction. Proud to be the consumer's choice.
Welcome back to Mifflinburg. The Wildcats leading Chickalamy on their opening drive touchdown that took 10 minutes off the clock in the first quarter. It is 7-0. Mifflinburg leading Chickalamy here as we wrap up halftime. It will give us an opportunity to pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Chickalamy Braves football.
It's Sports Talk, where your voice counts. The Steve Jones Show, weekdays from 3 to 5 on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and online at WKOK.com.
Taking a look at our Blaze Alexander out-of-town scoreboard, it is late in the fourth quarter going into overtime, and Biden leads Trump 253 to 213. I was trying to drew with a straight face that you started laughing. I was doing really well too.
And I wonder if and this play will be under review forever. Forever.
Oh, so yes, that one in overtime right now, and nothing new coming out of Pennsylvania or Georgia or North Carolina or Arizona or Nevada and Alaska at this point. So as soon as we have more information to pass along, we will do that. CBS News will keep you covered throughout the evening as well after our broadcast. And, of course, any breaking news you'll be able to follow on WKOK on Facebook as well.
You know, Kevin, people that normally don't even know that we're having an election are fixated by watching the news, all right?
Listen, I was up till 1 in the morning Tuesday, 1:30 actually, and I knew it wasn't going to be decided, but I couldn't turn it off. Last night I'm watching it again as I'm getting my stuff around for tonight's game, and my wife's like, can you please stop watching this? She said, get ready for your game tomorrow. I'm like, I can't.
I happened to wake up at 2 o'clock Wednesday morning as Donald Trump was, or president, was giving his speech about fraud, and you know, we've already won. We're just going to stop counting the votes right now. And there's the kickoff.
And Pfeiffer takes it at the 15 to the 20, 25 to the 30, up the middle of the field to the 40, and just short of the 43-yard line with what was a really good open field tackle, Kevin, by Tyler Foles.
Kevin, did you see the seam that was open right here?
Yes.
I'm thinking, where are you going? Because if he comes there, but then he made a good choice, though, because there must have been that same opening on that side.
Well, Fultz might have, I mean, that could have honestly been a touchdown-saving tackle because there was some room. There was some room at one point.
Well, I'll see what if the Braves have made any adjustments. This is a big, strong defensive line that Mifflinburg throws out there.
Indeed, averaging 250 up front. Chickalamy with the offset backfield. It's the belly play off the left and a little bit of room there off the right side. Make that the right side, not the left, but it is the right side for Semko, and he will pick up a nice chunk of five yards.
Almost five. It's probably 4.5.
They'll spot him down at the 45-yard line, so it'll be a 4-yard gain. Balestrini will bring the play back. Somebody's got a campfire going tonight. It's
well, either that or they're burning paper someplace.
That could be too.
Yeah, you're right. It does smell.
It's getting a little smoky.
Yeah, but it also you can smell it in the air too.
Yeah,
it's a lot better than the smell down at Shikellamy sometimes.
Balestrini under center again. Long count. Handoff on the counter left side to Wolf. Wolf will be snowed under.
Nothing.
Not before a gain of about one, but you're right. Not much more after that. Bring up third down and five.
Braves, unlike last week when they were able to run the sweep, this time Mifflinburg's doing a nice job. That means basically that the defensive line is getting a good surge, and the Braves not able to get those guards out there and to do the outside blocking. But, again, give the credit to the Mifflinburg linebackers doing a nice job of finding it.
Balestrini with four receivers, ball in the middle of the field, moving left to right, shotgun. Back to pass. No pressure. Rolls out to the right side to make something happen. Now he's going to run. He's going to throw. No, he's going to run. Turn the corner. First down. Fumble the football. And Mifflinburg's got it at the 35-yard line. Unfortunately, Balestrini was trying to stretch it out a little bit and get more than he could have. He thought maybe he was out of bounds. The official said, nope, it's a fumble at the 35. Dressler picks it up. Cade Dressler will be first and 10 Mifflinburg.
See that so much nowadays, and you see that the pros in college where they always putting that arm out to get that extra yard, and that time it bit the Braves.
Balestrini.
I mean, he hit a first down.
Oh, easily.
Easily, and now the Mifflinburg with the turnover here on their own 35.
He's getting a couple of slaps on the pads. They buck him up a little bit. He's pretty down about that one, obviously. Shotgun formation, back to pass. Nope, handoff rights, and Weir comes in, and he wraps up the running back, Fultz, immediately. No gain.
Well, Simcoe in on that also, but you're right. Duncan made the initial contact, and also Gage Wolf over there. So, again, a nice stop. He was hit behind the line of scrimmage and kept his legs going and hit a couple of guys on him and got back to the line of scrimmage.
And, Chief, if my numbers are right, that one puts him over the century mark for the year in tackles.
Oh, I think before that, Kevin. He's had quite a few, and, you know, not maybe not any, what do I call, individual solo tackles.
Solo tackles, right.
But he's had a lot of helping assistant on the tackle.
Here's the pitch almost behind the running back, and a good stick by Fitz as that one goes to Darup, and Darup will come to the 40-yard line picking up five. But, man, that was almost behind him, and he almost ended up having to go backwards.
And, you know, Fitzgerald made a nice hit on him, but he gave the runner an A-plus on bouncing out of that and picking up an extra yard
or
two.
Well, Darup did where you're supposed to as a running back. Put your shoulder down, absorb the blow. 9:10 remaining here in the third quarter. Third down and five from the 40-yard line of Mifflinburg. Power eye formation. Fake the pitch, goes to the dive. There is absolutely nothing there.
Duncan
as Dressler this time got met by Weir.
Well, Duncan's down on his – I mean, Duncan hit him in the thighs and slid down and got him around the lower legs, and he went right down. That's you know, if they picked up a foot, that's about it, Kevin. Again, the Braves three and out.
Yep. After the turnover, the Braves are able to dodge that one and bring the punting unit back on, and back to punt will be Osman. Balestrini trying to make up for the fumble will try to return this one from the 30. And that was a pretty good kick. Balestrini will take it at the 27 to the 30 to the middle of the field. Now he's going to come to the near side. Juke. Stiff arm to the 35. Now to the 40. Down the sidelines of the 45. And he got a good return on what was really nothing, but he took a shot out of bounds.
He's up. His arm is on his arm there, his shoulder, so we'll have to see. They're going to make him go over on the sidelines?
Yeah, I don't know. He's fighting the referee.
No, they're just going to get his shoulder pad underneath his jersey. So.
He was kind of fighting the referee, but now, wait a minute, they are going to replace him.
Yeah, he's...
So they are going to have to bring in Workman.
Going to have to sit out this play. Hey, Kev, that was one of the greatest... dip in, dip out moves that we've seen all year long. I thought 53 had a beat on him, and he ran around him.
Troy Dressler almost had him. You're right.
And you know, gave him a little shoulder to the inside.
So Wertman, the junior, 6'1", 165 junior, one of three for 11 yards, one of one on the ground, will be the quarterback now for at least one play. and he'll be under center. Mifflinburg thinking run all the way, counter to the near side, and a little bit of running room there for Wolf, and Wolf will come just short of the 50-yard line. They'll actually spot him back a little further than I thought. That's not a friendly spot there.
No, not at all, Kevin.
That's all the way back to the 46, and I thought he got to the 48 at least.
Second and seven for the Braves.
So it'll be second down nevertheless.
That's a mystery because, Kevin, we're only 30 yards away from that play. We got a better look at it than the officials did.
I think so. And Wertman will stay in for this one. Far side of the field, that's where Pfeiffer is with man-to-man coverage. Backs are offset behind Wertman. Blitz coming up the middle. Play fake. Rolling out Wertman. Fires it. It is complete. No, incomplete. Right through the hands of Fitz. A little bit behind him, but a catchable ball, and that would have been a first down.
If it would have been a little bit farther, the number 56 over there, the linebacker, was sitting right in that curl zone, and it might have been intercepted.
It was a pass that had to be pinpoint.
But you're right. But it would have been on his. I think it would have been on his hip, too. It was a little bit low. That Balestrini's back in for this play.
Third down and seven from the Shikellamy 47-yard line. 7-0 Mifflinburg, 7:35 to go second quarter. Balestrini now with his shoulder pad back tucked in the shotgun. Gets the direct snap. Now he'll roll out with a little bit of time. Gets to the edge. He's going to fake the pass, run to it at the 50, to the 45, and he's very close to the first down marker.
They're going to put it right on
they're
going to put it on the right here. The guy's walking up.
He's got it. It's the far official that has about a
first
little
down.
Further ahead. It is good. He was right on the 45-yard line, and it will be a new set of downs.
Mifflinburg getting so much pressure up the middle, but nobody's containing. And as soon as he breaks out of the pocket, usually he just has to just run away from one person. And then, of course, everybody's after him, and he does a nice job of picking a good lane and getting a first down.
Blaze Alexander Ford, tough game of the week at the half. Jersey Shore leading 40-0 over Shamokin. Shotgun formation, Balestrini looking to the far side of the field. He makes the completion to the 40 to Pfeiffer, and Pfeiffer with a 5-yard gain. That one had to be low and just above the ground because very close to that was Cade Dressler, the linebacker, and he had a chance to take that one the other way.
Not quite sure if John, did a little out or if he went deep and came back. I wasn't watching.
Looked like he might have come back for that.
Yeah, the way he was thrown and where he caught it.
And the way he landed it looked like he was trying to make a cut and his feet went out from underneath him. Four receivers. Now Fitz in motion. Play fake. Balestrini thought about up the middle. Now he's going to try and get outside. Makes a man miss, and he got lost his feet there at the 39-yard line as he tried to make a cut. It's getting a little bit chilly now, and I think it's getting a little slick and damp out there on that
field.
Could
be getting a little
moisture. The field's in really good condition, considering that we're in November.
Hey, listen, if you put weed and feed on last week, you're going to have to mow grass till December. I'm telling you.
I got to mow grass tomorrow,
mine's ready to mow.
I got to put the weed and feed on, too. Third down and six from the 41-yard line. We'll have more lawn tips coming up for you in the fourth quarter. Shotgun formation. Balestrini with a direct snap. Slant pattern. Fitz has it. First down to the 30.
Wow.
Inside the 30 to the 28-yard line, and a hard tackle grabbed by the shoulders in the front and brought down.
Zachariah Mintz hit Fitzgerald hard, but Fitzgerald basically put his shoulder down and ran into him. That was major league collision. Nice pass. That usually Pfeiffer's the one that gets that slant pass, and Connor just caught it in stride and picked up the first down.
Update on the Blaze Alexander Buick Cadillac GMC Truck Out of Town scoreboard and the Alexander Family Dealership scoreboard. Southern Columbia 42, South Williamsport, nothing in the third. Under their center, Balestrini, two-step drop, nothing there. Now he's got a direct traffic. He's in trouble. Stiff arms coming out to the near side. Sets up, looking long downfield for Pfeiffer, and overthrew him in the end zone. Incomplete. Great coverage there by Jarrett Miller.
Is there a flag?
No, I don't see one, but there's a lot of
well, Jared
unhappy
Oaks,
players.
Jared Oaks on the offensive tackle over here. Must have been a pretty good either block. I'm not sure. Well, we were watching that pass, but that thing, you talk about a cat with nine lives. Number nine there stepped out of a couple of different grasps to get that ball away.
That was almost a nightmare in every direction.
10 seconds here to get the playoff.
Yeah, now, and they really have to get moving now. Five, and they're not at the line. Second down and 10. They don't want to use a timeout here, and they're going to have to. And it is going to be a timeout. And that's one of those situations, again, the ball's on the near hash mark. Balestrini has a long way to go, and he was – I mean, I'm not saying that it was Balestrini's fault. I don't want that to be misconstrued. But he did not get the play as quick as he wanted, but he didn't also come back very fast either.
Well, you got to remember, Kevin, he's got to actually, after he sprint over here, you know what's going to happen. He's going to sprint some other place. So
that's a good point. He's been doing a lot of sprinting tonight in general.
Well, 4:52 to go here in the third quarter, and the Braves, I think, really need to have something happen here. You know, try to push this ball in the end zone because – you know, you might run out of time the way that Mifflinburg could get another drive together like they did in that first quarter.
Well, and I think that's the other reason with 4:52 to go, you saw Coach Kizer take the timeout and not try and get the snap off because it's second down and 10 at the 28-yard line. I mean, 5 yards wouldn't be deadly, but, again, you have not been able to get inside the red zone tonight. So that 5 yards could be huge, could be the difference between a field goal opportunity.
You're right, Kevin.
Three receivers far side of the field. Balestrini coming up. Now he's going to go back to the shotgun sidecar to the left. Now he's going to drift back and forth, waiting for the snap. He'll get the direct snap a little bit low. They look at Marshall. Now they're going to go long downfield to Pfeiffer. Wide open, Pfeiffer, touchdown, Shikalemi!
How many times have we seen that play, Kevin? I mean, that's just nothing that he runs a fly down the opposite sideline. We were talking about it before. And, you know, Coach Kizer said, just lay it out in front of John, and John will run under it. And he did.
Well, the other thing, too, is they had Marshall, who actually might be up for an Oscar on that one because he was really acting like he was getting ready to catch the ball and drew everybody on that left side in. So now to tie it, it is going to be Kuntz. Kuntz is 6-for-8. On PATs. The hold from Weir. Fitzgerald on the snap. Snap's good. Sets down. The kick is up. It is low, but it is through the uprights and over the crossbar to tie it at 7.
Big play. Big drive. Got the Braves tied with Mifflinburg with 4:44 to go here in the third quarter. And I think what's more important is the fact that the Braves defense has been playing very well.
We'll check with our statistician, Don Leitzel, to get the official yardage on that pass reception for Pfeiffer.
That's 29.
Yeah, you got to really work with him on hand signals because they're not as good as yours are in basketball season.
28 yards.
Thank you, sir. 28 yards on the reception
and
for
John
Pfeiffer.
Has 53 yards receiving for the game.
The joke we have is during basketball season, Chief always gives me numbers, and he'll throw up fingers. It'll be like 2, 3, and I know he's got 23 right now. We got to work on Coach Leitzel a little bit. Maybe he needs to sit with us for the varsity game instead of assistant coaching for basketball, and then we can teach him these little things.
Once in a while, we get a little mixed up. When I give you the butterfly shadow one, you know that's kind of tough on you.
I'm never sure if I'm reading left to right by you or by me.
You know, it's double digits easy, but I guess we better get back to the kickoff here, Kevin.
Well, and there goes the kickoff. It's going to be Gittins that will kick it right to the sideline, and I believe that will draw a flag, and it does.
Well, they should get it at the 35 then, Kevin.
40, I believe.
We go through this every time. One of you, either you or I, have to remember exactly where they put it.
I don't know that
they're going to kick it over.
I don't think there's an option in high school where you do it everywhere else because every time we have this discussion, they kick it over.
But I remember one time the Braves took it at the 35. I do.
As I said, too many levels of football, too many rules, and I have trouble keeping track. It's a cop-out answer. I understand.
Well, I remember when you were the Ute football coach.
Right.
The youth.
And that changes everything. Then you're talking four levels of football you're watching. So from the 35 now, that one, an end-over-end kick taken at the 15 to the 20 to the 25, up the middle of the field by Fultz. Flag flies from way out of left field. And Fultz will have it almost at midfield, but that one is coming back from about the 30-yard line.
Yeah, that's where the penalty is going to take effect.
So the two officials, the referee from the 15-yard line, threw the flag a good 35 yards. The near side official did not have to throw it as far, but did get a nice 10-yard gain out of that. And the hold is against Mifflinburg.
I'll put it back at probably the 20-yard line, Kevin.
But our referee did a heck of a throw there. I mean, that's good use of the beanbag there. There was a nice flutter to the flag, and anytime you can go 35 yards and almost hit the 30-yard line, he was 2 yards too long.
He plays a lot of cornhole.
Maybe.
Not as good as Patrick Mahomes is. Is it Patrick Mahomes
yes.
that does that?
Yeah. Yes. So the ball at the 21-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for Mifflinburg. 4:35 to go, all tied at 7. 4:35 to go in the third, I should say. And this one is going to be Fultz, the quarterback, and he'll get to the 20-yard line. He'll lose a yard.
Well, Duncan Weir was there along with Colton Semko, along with a couple of defensive linemen that time. I think Jared Oakes was also in on that. Jared's been playing a lot of defense at one of the defensive tackle spots. He's in there with Schaefer Knights and Ortiz. I shouldn't say Ortiz, but it's actually Turber Ortiz.
Well, our Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game may change now with this score tied at 7. And the play fake. Tying a slant pattern incomplete, threw
open.
It behind Griffith, who was wide open at about the 30-yard line, and Wrights just could not quite. It looked like he was a little bit messed up on the handoff. The handoff kind of messed the timing, or
it was a play action, and that got the linebacker up so they didn't get back in that zone, and that's why he was so wide open, and it was thrown behind him. You're right. There wasn't enough continuity in the whole thing.
That'll bring up third down and 10 from the 21-yard line. Shotgun formation, three receivers near side. Fultz, the right-hander, has to roll to the near side. Pressure coming. He's running out of real estate, lobs one into the third row, and that one will go incomplete, bringing up fourth down and a punting situation for the Wildcats.
Duncan Weir did a nice job of getting out from that middle linebacker spot, him and Gage Wolf, to try to run him down. But the Braves brought some people that time. They brought a couple of linebackers.
PA announcer said it was for Gage Bingaman. I said it looked more like Carter Breed on the sidelines there, number 4. He was the only one that could really get a hand on that one, although he was not an eligible receiver.
Yeah, so the Wildcats in a punt formation here. He's going to be punting from his own 5-yard line.
Piper back deep this time to return this one.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, you don't want to get Balestrini hurt. And
well,
he'll
nice
get a
punt.
Beauty away. Pfeiffer takes it at the 45, midfield to the 50, coming to the near side to the 45. Now he cuts it back inside. Now he goes out to the numbers to the 40, and at the 41-yard line, he is met.
Zachariah Mintz. Yep, Zachariah Mintz with the tackle.
Shikalimi with a starting field position in Mifflinburg territory for the first time tonight.
3:30 to go here in the third quarter. So we'll see what the Braves have in order now. I wonder if sometimes Mifflinburg went away from that power running with those two big guys. But I think what might have happened is that maybe they're tired because those guys are not. Those guys are also playing the defensive line, and then they're in the backfield.
Three receivers far side. Balestrini now gets the play. They're going to change it. Plenty of time on the play clock now. Balestrini will roll. It's going to be all him now. Cutting out to the left side, to the 40, to the 35-yard line. And he'll race out of bounds at the 34. A gain of 6 and a second down and 4 coming up for the Braves.
That's basically going to be a run every time on first down. You know, he's got three receivers to his left, and, you know, he's got a lot of guys out there that can come in and do a little blocking. They got to be careful so they don't block from behind, but, you know, and he tries to cut up as soon as he can.
You know, this game may not mean anything. It may be a bonus game to some people's minds, but I'll tell you what, this is a really good matchup tonight, a great way to end a really weird season.
you got two teams with similar records.
And looking toward next year.
Yeah.
Balestrini back to pass, rolling to the near side, fires it. It is incomplete. Marshall was the intended receiver, but going up to try and get it was Jared Miller, and Miller almost lost his head on that one.
The ball wasn't thrown bad, Kevin. I thought it could have been caught, but Now we got third and five, third and six maybe. Yep.
Third and five from the 35-yard line. I have to get to just about the 30-yard line to keep this series going. Remember, the Braves started this drive at the 40. Would really like to continue it here on this third with a third down conversion, but I think this is four down territory.
Well, again, they got to get going here. They got 6 seconds to go. You got to get everybody set.
And now everybody is set with two. Ballastrini back to pass. He's going to go to the slant to Pfeiffer. Oh, reading it perfectly was Dressler, and Dressler was inches. Actually, I'm going to correct that. That's actually not Dressler. It was
59.
Melendez.
Jonathan Melendez did exactly what he's supposed to do. He stepped into that that zone as a backer to take that curl away. And they are
in the
going
passing
for
lane.
They are going for it, Kevin.
It is fourth down and five from the 40-yard line. Clock stop with 2:36 to go, all tied at seven. Braves trying to capitalize on some great field position. They're going to have to convert on fourth down for the first time tonight. Back to pass, Ballastrini. Three-man rush, steps up, fires down the middle of the field, intended for Marshall, but too tall. Turnover on downs.
It was right there. All right, well, let's see if the Braves can hold them on defense. Now, what they've done is they've given the Mifflinburg Wildcats a little bit better field position. They're going to start first and 10 from their own 35-yard line with 2:30 to go here in the third quarter.
All tied at seven. In a slow-moving third quarter after a 45-minute first half.
Well, we had more passes, you know, different things
very
going on
so.
That normally didn't happen. That, again, that first drive is what really started things.
That's true. Under center now with a power eye formation. One receiver to the near side, moving right to left. The pitch on the ground. Ball is free. And Mifflinburg got it back on it. Boy, that was really close to being a turnover. But hopping on it was Darup who actually bobbled this pitch.
Was 24 was the ball carrier, right?
Yeah. No, it was Darup, 19, okay. 18.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe the weather has a little bit of chill, has something to do with it also, Kevin. I mean, but it was a low pitch.
Loss of two, second down and 12, back at the 33-yard line of Mifflinburg. Power eye formation again. Now Darup is going to go in motion, but I think somebody moved.
Or they could be lined up off sides. Oh, nope, we got motion.
Yeah, I think one of the linemen kind of moved when the when Darup went into motion out of the backfield to make it a pro set. So that'll be second down and 17 back at the Mifflinburg 33-yard line. All tied at 7, 1:51 to go in the third quarter of play. Not many games that are close tonight here across the the region.
Isn't it amazing?
And this isn't even a playoff game.
In District 4 championship games and their blowouts every year, it seems.
Yeah.
You know?
This one, not a championship game or a district game, but much more competitive. Again, they'll move a man in motion, Darup. Now the give to the near side, and the big man is running. And he will be tackled by Fitz back at the original line of scrimmage. It's Dressler on the carry. And the big man comes up with a gain of 7 or 8.
They ran that play in the first half. They put the back in motion, and like they're going to throw a swing pass to him, and they give it to the up back, who's usually either 44 or 54.
Dressler is 6'3", 230 senior. Cade Dressler, the younger Dressler, is Troy, who is a freshman.
Well, it's third and nine.
Yep.
Manageable, Kevin.
39, under a minute remaining at the Mifflinburg 36-yard line. They're late to break the huddle. 5 on the play clock. Wrights in the shotgun. Back to pass. Has some time. Near side, way overthrown.
Oh, wow.
Almost intercepted one-handed. On the backside by Pfeiffer. He did almost grab that one one-handed and kept a foot inbound.
If that would have been farther inside, he'd have kept those feet going and he would have picked it off.
Yeah.
The ball was overthrown. But if you're going to overthrow it, it's a good thing you're on the sideline.
That's right.
Now it's going to go out of bounds.
Throw it to nobody.
Yep, again.
That'll bring Osman the punter back in, and Pfeiffer will have a chance to return. You know, he's been so close to returning one this year, both on kickoffs and on punts. He'll line up at his own 30-yard line. Osman from the 25 gets it away. High kick, and they're going to stay away from this one. Takes a roll sideways.
He did a nice job. That ball was 10 yards in front of him, and Pfeiffer acted like he was near it. And what happened was the two quick guys down the field were actually around him, and the ball hit behind him. So Braves, with not bad field position, are going to be on their, I think, their own 36-yard line.
Yep, and not quite as good as the Mifflinburg 40-yard line.
No, that's for sure.
But the 36-yard line of Shikellamy, yeah, with 30 seconds remaining in the third quarter of a tie game at 7. Mifflinburg's opening drive made it 7-0, and Shikellamy's defense has tightened up since. Offset backfield behind Balestrini. They will hand it off right side, and boy, there is I'll tell you what, that is pure effort to get 5-6 yards on that run. Wow.
And it was, I'm trying to see who the runner was.
I thought it was Simcoe.
27, Simcoe. Yeah, he's got those powerful legs. 59 for Mifflinburg, which would have been Jonathan Melendez, had him stacked up, but he just kept those legs going and picked up 5 yards, almost 6, Kev.
You know, Melendez is pretty stocky himself. He's 5'7", 175, and I think that's, you know, 175 is a little conservative. At the end of the first 36 minutes, it's 7-7. Shikellamy and Mifflinburg. Fourth quarter next on WKOK and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
It's game time, and the team at I'm the Guy Basement Systems is ready to give you a customized game plan to fix your basement's problems. Moisture, seepage, mold, those are serious problems that won't go away on their own. Let ITG help. We offer free inspections to ensure your home is dry and healthy. Visit ITGBasementSystems.com to schedule your free estimate today.
ITG Basement Systems, I'm the guy to make it dry.
In difficult times, our thoughts center on protecting and providing for our families. A well-thought-out estate plan is essential to that goal. The Shock Law Office in Sealands Grove will help tailor a plan and documents to help you meet your individual needs and goals. If you care for a loved one who is elderly or has special needs, the Shock Law Office can prepare a plan that helps protect their assets and their access to public benefit programs. Call the Shock Law Office at 570-492-7133 to schedule an in-person or remote appointment to discuss your plan. Or find them on the web at shochlaw.com.
Second down and 6 for the Braves at the 41-yard line. Split backs, man in motion. That's going to be Schaefer Knights. He'll get the carry. And Schaefer Knights will cut it back to the inside, to the 45, to the 50-yard line. And good enough for a Shikellamy first down and a gain of 9.
It wasn't meant to go that way, Kevin, but he was going to run the sweep to the right side. And he did a nice little pivot step, and all the entire Mifflinburg defense had switched to that side. He came back across almost like a counterplay and picks up the first down.
Well, Chief, Fox Sports has Mike Ferreira. We have Todd Tilford as our officials rules analyst. And he says that you get the option 35 or re-kick.
On the kickoff if it goes out of bounds.
Chief is right on the money. I don't know why I doubted you.
Well, that's all right. But thank you, Mr. Tilford, for helping us out.
Oh, and that's a delayed snap, and the Braves' offensive line moved first. And that'll be 5 yards against Shikellamy. And I will spot it at the 30, make that the 45-yard line, and a first and 15 from the 45-yard line with 11 minutes, 20 seconds to go in the game, all tied at 7. Braves have not been in an overtime game. Geez, I think it'll be about at least 5 years.
Why'd you have to say that? The first quarter went really fast. You know,
I love overtime games. It's nail-biting.
Oh, that's right. We get extra pay when it's overtime. Tell.
You get that. I got to renegotiate my contract if that's what you get.
I think Mr. Haddon told me that.
One receiver to the far side, man in motion, Schaefer Knights to make it 2. Back to pass, Balestrini, and a flag. And did they get it off in time?
I
came from the back, Judge.
Yeah, it did. They're saying the center moved the ball.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what
He said the center moved the ball. So now the Braves have first and 20.
So they have to go from their 40 to the Mifflinburg 40 to get a first down.
And they started at their own 36, and they picked up a first down, and now they're back at the 40. So this is bizarre, folks.
What do they call it, a false snap? Or?
Well, they called it the same as they do illegal
procedure. Well, yeah, it's a procedure, but
the official came up and was motioning with his hands about the center.
Well, now the Braves will send in their four quicks. Sorry, Chief. Didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, that's fine. But, you know, again, they're down to 8 seconds on the time clock.
And they quickly get four receivers in. Balestrini in the shotgun. No pressure at all. Now he'll have to roll out to the outside. He's going to think about throwing it. He's going to back up a little bit. Stiff arm. And now he finally throws it.
Intercepted.
It's intercepted. But
out
is he out of bounds first? He is out of bounds first. So it'll be a sack at the 30-yard line. And I'm trying to see. I think it might have been Cade Dressler that's going to get credited with the sack and a loss of 10, which will now make it third down and yikes.
Second down.
Or second down and yikes.
Second down and 10, 20, 30 yards. Yeah. Wow.
Second down and a bus ride. Two receivers near side. The good thing is it's second down, so you don't need all of it.
Second down and as far as we can't run.
That's 10 yards. Back to pass, Balestrini has time. Now he steps up in the pocket, sees some time to run, and he will come up with 5 yards, making a third down and 25, but he took a shot right in the shoulder and in the back.
These guys, you know, the guys down on the ground, and they come down, they throw drive their shoulder into them. They're not far from it being an illegal hit.
We'll see if he comes back out.
Let me put it this way. They're not far from it being called. Here comes.
And it's going to be Wertman again coming in. Balestrini taking a beating tonight. Wertman, who's only thrown 3 passes this year, is in a passing situation at third down and 25 with 9:44 to go. Wertman with a direct snap from the shotgun. He's going to roll out. He fires it. It is complete. Far side across the 40 to the 42-yard line. And that one is that Simcoe there?
I think it is Simcoe that caught it, Kevin.
No, it's going to be Weir.
Oh, okay, yeah, Duncan Weir with the catch. I'll put the Braves in punting situation. You know, Braden, he does have a touchdown pass last year up at Jersey Shore.
He had one,
and it was to John Pfeiffer, I believe.
Well, now it will be a fourth down, and it'll bring Gittens into punt from his own 30-yard line. Try and see who's back deep. It appears to be Griffith at the 30-yard line. Direct snap is good. Punt is away. It's a wobbler. And it hits and takes a Shikellamy roll inside the 30 down to about the 26-yard line. And with 8:46 to go and the ball at the 26-yard line, that's where Mifflinburg will take over with a first and 10 all tied here at 7. A quick look at the Alexander Family Dealership out-of-town scoreboard. District 4 2A championship game, Southern Columbia 49, South Williamsport nothing. And on our Blaze Alexander Ford Tough Game of the Week, in the third quarter in the 4A championship game, Jersey Shore 47, Shamokin nothing. And later on tomorrow, it'll be Danville-Montoursville. And a timeout by Mifflinburg now.
Timeout Wildcats.
That's unusual.
Line Mountain, Penns Valley, are they playing? I mean, they haven't any score. But
they may have moved that game to Saturday. Yeah. I am not 100% sure about that.
You know, it's the Boiling Springs. My son-in-law is a Boiling Springs bubbler.
That's right. I forgot
about that. But you didn't know that, did you?
No, I did know that. You did tell me that.
Fred's it's amazing. Fred was a swimmer in high school. Never played football, but when he got out of college, he played semi-pro football.
My first experience with the Boiling Springs Bubblers was down at Shippensburg. Actually,
could be Chambersburg.
Chambersburg. But it was down at
baseball, maybe.
No, it was basketball. It was a tip-off classic. Dan Perna was the head coach at Danville at the time.
You're right, he was.
And I was doing that game many, many moons ago in the 90s. That was my first experience with the Boiling Springs Bubblers.
Dan Perna, former curriculum director at Shikellamy.
We shared a room that night.
You and Dan Perna.
Yes. I'm sure he was thrilled about that. Actually, I don't think it was Dan. It was my broadcast partner at the time, but he was next door. Wasn't quite like Bill Ziegler, though, as soon as the game's over, watching film in the room. Swing pass, near side, firing it down, and it is going to be Balestrini knocking that one away. A good defensive play. They want to say it was over the top of the intended receiver, Griffith, But there was no whistle, no flag, and Dressler, Cade Dressler, fired that up with a halfback pass. Not the guy you'd expect a halfback pass to come from.
But it was well defended too, Kevin. And the other thing is, usually the receiver isn't on the far side, away from the.
That was kind of weird.
He had to throw that across the field, which made that a much longer pass to try to complete.
Two receivers near side. And one to the far side, shotgun sidecar right. And Wright's with a handoff, and that one will go for maybe a yard. And Fultz will maybe get that yard, make it third down, and we'll call it nine.
Well, Semko and Schaefer Knightson on the tackle, Kevin.
8:24 and counting, both teams with two timeouts remaining, all tied at seven. Here in Mifflinburg in this final game of the 2020 season for both teams. Coming to the near side is Griffith. In the slot is Bingaman. Wrights, sidecar right, play fake, rolling out to the near side. Looking, has time, rolling, firing. It is complete to his tight end. Good enough for a first down, gain of 12 to Whitaker.
Well, they had... Davis Marshall standing right in front of Whitaker, and number 58 for Shikellamy, who would be, I forgot who that is. Oh,
that's Oakes.
No, Oakes.
No, Gessner. Geiser, rather.
Yeah, Guy, and he was behind him, and the quarterback did a nice job of getting it in between.
That was right on the money.
Yes, it was.
It was right on the
Plus,
money.
Plus, he was running at full speed.
Darab coming to the near side, two receivers to the far side, shotgun formation on the first and 10. Back to pass, looking. Now he's going to set up, and he's going to be dropped.
McCormick.
Sacked by McCormick, his first sack of the season. It'll be a loss of four and a second down and 14.
Well, McCormick in there, he's the one that made the initial hit, but I also see, looks like Oaksy was in there also, and I think Davis got a J.O.P., if you remember what that means.
Jumped on the pile?
Yeah, he was in there to help bring him down the rest of the
That's way. How I got every tackle. That's every assisted tackle I've ever
Whether
had.
Whether it was your tackling the other team or your own team, right, Kevin?
Unfortunately,
it was a J-O-P.
Unfortunately, I think my son ended up with the same situational stats.
It must have been one
it
of the
It was
genes.
Hereditary,
Yeah, hereditary,
yes.
You're right. It was in the DNA.
Shotgun formation, play fake, back to pass. He's going to swing it out to the far side to Darab, who he play faked it to. Darab races down the sidelines and comes down to about the 45-yard line. It looked like he was going to get back to the original line of scrimmage and then found a bonus 8 yards.
I have no idea how he got by both the players on that side, but he put a burst of speed on, and instead of getting knocked out of bounds or tackled, he almost picked up the first down.
It will be third down, and where are they going to spot the ball? Third down and about two.
Yeah, two, not even less than that, maybe a yard and a half.
At the 46-yard line, just inside the 45, outside the 45, I should say. Shotgun rights, runs it himself off the left side. He's got the first down, bounces his way to the 50, down to the 45-yard line of Shikellamy. 6:11 to go here in a 7-7 game.
Well, if Mifflinburg would continue to run first downs and grind this out, they could end up taking most of this quarter off again.
And if they can get points of any kind,
yeah, exactly.
Avoid overtime. Wrights will come back now with 6 minutes to go at the Shikellamy 45-yard line. Mifflinburg jumped out to an early 7-0 lead, had the 7-0 lead at the half. Braves finally scored midway through the second to tie it. Man in motion to the near side. The give to that man. No, it's going to be Wrights up the middle. Great fake. Wrights up the middle, gets the first down and down to the 32-yard line. And he is slow to get up after the gain of 14.
I think he's okay. He might have just maybe went down.
Well,
hard.
He's going to have to come out because they blew the whistle. So he is going to hobble off the field. That will bring probably Troy Dressler in at quarterback. Dressler did have one carry for 6 yards at the quarterback slot and is 0-for-1 as a quarterback passing. But it is going to be Wrights. It's going to have to come out for at least a play because they did stop it. And he's going to go down to a knee now. So now they're going to take a look at that ankle a little further.
That's a read option, and he does that so well.
It was a very good option.
And basically, folks, once he didn't hand the ball off to the man in motion,
he ended up just going right up the field, right up over the center. And it was like, and the kid's got some speed, got some jets, and he picked up a lot of yards quickly.
He's going to get up and still hobble to get off the field.
Well, now the number 12 is going to be Troy Dressler. He's going to take off his number 53 and put on 12 to be the quarterback for one play.
He's going to have to change uniforms to be the right number to play quarterback. As Wrights comes off the field, don't forget, coming up tomorrow, Nittany Lions hosting Maryland. It'll be Steve Jones, Jack Hamm, Roger Corey from Beaver Stadium. Tailgate show at 2, kickoff at 3:30 on WKOK, WKOK.com, and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. Or do what I did last week, watch the game, pause it right at kickoff, tell Alexa to play WKOK, and then when Steve says the kickoff, hit play, and you sync it up. Works really well.
Note here, the trainer for Mifflinburg is former Shikellamy football, basketball, track star Matthew Split.
So it'll be a shotgun for the new quarterback, Dressler. Dressler coming to the near side. Dressler is dropped. And a tackle by Gage Wolf behind the line. It'll be a loss of 4, bringing up second down and 14 back at the 36-yard line.
Well, Gage, that gave Gage the opportunity, Kevin, to get in there and to get in the backfield when he fumbled that snap. And it looks like Mr. Wrights is going to be back in the game for this second down
in
12
or
13.
Yep. 4 minutes, 50 seconds to go. 2 timeouts for both teams. Ball at the Shikellamy 36-yard line, second and 14. Power eye formation behind the quarterback. He's going to give it to the second back through. Hit by one, and then Weir took him out.
Wolf.
Oh, that was Terrap who got hit by Wolf, and then
we heard
off
it up,
by
I
Weir.
I heard that one up here, Kevin.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean,
no
gain. Gage and Duncan with just stopped him right in the hole. And that's that isolate that they run people up through there. So great job by the defense.
Huge third down here, Chief.
Well, third, I think the next two downs because
Do you think it's 4 down territory?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Boy, I don't know if I'd want to take a chance, though, with
Their defense has been playing well.
Good point. 3 receivers, shotgun formation, 3rd and 14, under 4 to go. Direct snap to Wrights. Wrights up the middle. Wrights met at the line of scrimmage and dropped.
Weir
with the tackle, yep.
Yeah,
and that'll
Duncan
be his
Weir.
Umpty ninth of the night.
I mean, he was right there. No gain again.
And I think you're right. I think it's 4 down.
I hope we were talking about this before again. I hope Duncan Weir gets at least somebody to look at him for someplace on the All-State team in 4A. I mean, I don't think we've seen a better linebacker in a while, Kevin.
He has really enjoyed that Mike linebacker position and really has come to really play it well.
And he's got kids on either side of him that are good. That's a timeout by
9 seconds on the play clock. Mifflinburg will have 1 timeout remaining after this 4th and 13 play from the Shikellamy 35 with 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go. Both of these teams trying to end on a big win. Braves would have a 3-game win streak if they could pull that off. Mifflinburg would be above 500 at 5-4 if they can get the win.
Well, Kevin, you got a lot of options here with Wrights. You know, he's got 4th and about 13. They're on the 35-yard line. He throws the ball well deep. He throws the ball, and he's got a good speed on it to get it short passes. I guess the key is if he's going to pass the ball to make sure the receiver gets to somewhere around the first down marker, so that
well, that's
he doesn't
the big
fall
thing.
Short. That.
And you know what? Coach Dressler is probably telling his receivers, know where the first down is. Get to the 20-yard line. That'll give you a cushion of about 3 yards. They have to get to about the 27 for a first down.
Well, the Braves have 4 down linemen, Kevin. They're actually in a 4-3 now or a 4-4.
Back to pass Wrights. Pressure coming. Wrights gets out of it. Can't get out of the second one. He's dropped for a sack at the 40-yard line. It'll be Jared Oakes with his second sack of the year.
Alex,
and a turnover on down.
Alex Geiser put the pressure on from that he was probably, if you want to call him the 4-4, the left end. And a right end, and he just did a great job of making him step up, and there was Jared Oakes to make the big sack.
3:14 remaining, 2 timeouts to go. Ball at the 40-yard line, 1st and 10 for the Braves. Balestrini back in at quarterback.
He's back in, Kevin.
Oh, wow. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Well, he's our Lazarus in football, okay?
He does. He does keep coming back. Four receivers. Balestrini looks for the quick threat. He fires it off to Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer breaks a tackle at the 30, 45. Wow. Down to the 50-yard line as he broke another tackle to get the midfield stripe. That'll be a 9-yard gain and just short of a first down.
He did not leave anybody get a good lick on him there. It's a first down, Kevin.
They are going to call it a first down.
And the thing is, there were four or five blue jerseys all around him once he caught the ball, but he did, you know, just did a nice job of sidestepping a couple and picking up some more yardage.
And, you know, they've been looking for him to do that slant that he's been doing the last couple of series. That time he didn't and was open when he did the curl and the cutback pattern. Four receivers again. Shotgun sidecar right. We're in motion. Play fake. Balestrini directing traffic for Marshall. He wants to go deep to Marshall. Can't find Marshall. He's going to have to do something, and he runs out of real estate.
Throw the ball away.
And he gets sacked as he runs out of bounds at the 44-yard line. See who he ran him out of bounds. It looked like running him out of bounds is Troy Dressler getting the sack. That'll be a loss of seven.
Yeah, first and 10 from the 50, and he's got to get rid of it. I mean, you can't, you know, it just, he had time to get rid of it too, Kevin.
Well, he was trying to get it to Marshall, who was well covered by Griffith, who got there late, but then was, or not Griffith, I'm sorry, but Miller, who got there late, but definitely had good position. They're going to put Breed, the safety, back deep, back to pass Balestrini. Steps up in the pocket. Now he's going to run. Coming out to the near side. He's over the line of scrimmage. He can't throw the ball. He's going to fire it, and that is really close to being an illegal forward pass. It was incomplete anyway. I think he was over the line, to be honest with you.
I would agree with you on Kevin. It looked like he stepped on the line and came back.
And
you can't do that.
Nevertheless, it was an incomplete pass. That'll bring up third down and 16.
There is that big crown in the field, and our perception might have been a little bit different.
You know, this reminds me of the crown at Jersey Shore.
Williamsport's crown.
Well, I was going to say the old Central Columbia field. That had a humongous crown on it. You'd throw the ball from the middle of the field, it would go 5 feet over the guy's head on the sideline. Shotgun formation. Four receivers. Balestrini back to pass on third and 16. Fires it along, looking for Marshall. Extends, can't hang on to a decent defense there by Miller, who is outsized by about 6 inches. And a punt coming for the Braves. And Gittens right now needs a beauty.
Well, they need a good snap in that. Kevin, you know, they went to John Pfeiffer the first play of this series, and the next three plays, they don't. They don't go back to him.
Well, they had some coverage on him the last time. He was not really open the last play. We'll see. But that was on the opposite side of the field, too. So Gittens, a high snap, got it back. Here comes the pressure. He's going to roll out. He's going to run for it. He's got it to 40, the 45, to the 50, to the 45, and he can't quite get to the first down marker. He's going to come up about 4 yards short as he tried to get whatever he could get. Much better run than we saw at Central Mountain, but Mifflinburg now with great field position at the Mifflinburg 45-yard line with 2:29 to go, all tied at 7.
Well, I said the first thing they needed was a good snap, and that snap was high. He fielded it, but Mifflinburg brought some people, and they were right on top of him. And he put it down, and then he had to make the decision: Do I try to rugby punt it, or do I run it?
I think he made the right call.
Yeah,
he really did. I don't think he could have rugby punted it.
I agree, because he was coming back the opposite of way his foot would. You know, he's a right footed, and he was coming to his left.
Four receivers, far side of the field. Nobody behind Wrights. Wrights coming in. Pressure from behind. Wrights gets it away. Throws it in the middle of nowhere. That's grounding. There is nobody there. Well, there might be a receiver 10 yards downfield, but that's a borderline one there.
Duncan Weir fell down on the field. Balestrini fell down on the field.
I mean, the coaches, I think, are asking for grounding too, because, again, the only receiver was 10 yards downfield and not where the ball was thrown. It's a judgment call, but that's about as marginal as you can make it without getting a flag.
Well, any way you look at it, Kevin, it's second and 10 with 2:22 to go here.
It is second down and 10 with 13 seconds on the play clock.
They've already used two of their timeouts, I think, Kevin.
They have one left.
They're down to 7 seconds here.
And they don't have a play in yet. They're going to have to use another one or take a 5-yard penalty. They have two on the play clock, one and a timeout. Mifflinburg will use their final timeout And I think Coach Dressler thought that the play clock was going to get reset. It was not. There was really, I don't think, any need to reset
it. He just lost track of the time.
So it'll be second down and 10 from the 45-yard line with 2:22 to go. Mifflinburg with no timeouts. Shikellamy with two timeouts and a 7-7 score. Remember, overtime is at the 10-yard line if we get to that part. And you basically either kick a field goal, score a touchdown, or turn the ball over on downs. Or, of course, you know, a turnover goes the other direction, that sort of thing. But you get the idea.
The coaches have been doing a nice job of mixing up the front three for Shikellamy. Curtis Raker's been playing a lot more now. He's been on the left side. And we'll see what happens here, Kevin.
Shotgun formation, sidecar right. Getting the direct snap is right. He's going to run it all the way. He will be snowed under after a gain of one. We're in on the tackle, but the first guy there to get a hand on him was Oaks.
Yeah. Jared's having a great game on defense. He's probably been chopping at the bits because he had sit out the last two.
Don't forget coming up to – I'm sorry, Chief.
Go ahead.
Third
and nine.
Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game coming up here in the postgame. Third down and nine. Back to pass rights. Looking to the near side. Oh, Marshall had a chance to get that one. He couldn't hang on to it, but it still almost got completed behind him to Whitaker, the tight end. But he ended up trapping it. It wouldn't have been enough for a first down anyway. It's fourth down and punting.
Good decision by Coach Dressler to punt here.
Yep. You got a chance to really pin Shikellamy back deep with a minute 54 to go and two timeouts remaining.
And Mifflinburg's defense, except for that pass play to Pfeiffer, has played very well.
Osmond from his own 35-yard line, actually 34. Good snap, not much pressure. He will get it away. He gets a high one away, and Pfeiffer will let it hit at the 25. It will roll down to the 20, come sideways to the 19-yard line. The Braves will have 81 yards to go to try and take the lead with a minute 44 to go and two timeouts as the season winds down. What a way to end this season with the second half the Braves have put together, the second half of the season, if the offense could come up with a big play here.
Or two not so big plays.
Well, the offense has struggled so much this year in the early part of the year that you almost want to see it happen that way.
One thing you don't want to do is anything. You don't want to turn the ball over.
Absolutely.
Or give it up on downs.
Four receivers. They're going to go to Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer with a lateral over to Fitz.
Hooking ladder.
It was indeed. And to the 26-yard line is where Fitz will have it. And a gain of seven. We'll bring up second down and four.
I haven't seen the hook
and ladder. I was not looking for that one.
Since Coach Tilford used to do it at Lewisburg.
I was not looking for that one.
He had a receiver by the name of Kiffalo that used to catch it and give it to him too. It was amazing.
And he was lightning fast.
He was probably one of the guys that
Kiff is lightning fast.
It was a pretty play to watch run.
Shotgun formation on the second down and three. Minute 39 to go. Back to pass. Balestrini all day. Writes a book. Signs it. Autographs it. Fires it deep downfield. Fitz was not looking for that one to go downfield. He was actually cutting off the route, and it falls way incomplete.
So you
found somebody open?
That John Pfeiffer. But that stops the clock, Kevin. I mean, you know, it's third down and
Mifflinburg with no timeouts, third down and three. If you don't, you don't get the first down. You got to punt it away.
Exactly.
Mifflinburg's going to have about a minute left.
Yeah.
17 seconds on the play clock, and this time Marshall's bringing in the play.
They might have to call a timeout here, Kevin.
I don't know. They're going to have to hustle the line with eight, now to seven. Now they're going to get up there with four, three. They quickly get set, two. One, got it away. Back to pass, Balestrini, Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer can't hang on to it. He tried to run with it before he caught it. It falls incomplete. It'll be fourth down, and we'll pause. For station identification, this is Shikellamy football.
Shikellamy Braves football on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and online or on your mobile device at WKOK.com.
Now Mifflinburg will have an opportunity to put the game away. And Gittins, who has had trouble getting the snap from Fitzgerald, is going to be doing it again. But this time, he would only need about 4 yards instead of 24 yards if he has to run it. Long count. Good snap. He gets it, punts it away. It is taken by Miller at the 40, and he is hit right away at the 44-yard line.
Well, Gage Wolf was the one that put him down, but the first person down there was, and if I can get his number, 58. That would be Mr.
That's Geiser again.
No, 36. It was. I thought Connor was one of the first guys down there. Connor Fitzgerald. So.
Well, he should be. He's the center. He's uncovered. So.
But again, those two guys have been down and covering punts all season long. Yep. Gage and Connor doing a good job.
But you can be uncovered. You still got to make the tackle.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? First and 10 at the 44 with a minute 18 to go. Shotgun formation for Wrights. Mifflinburg, no timeouts, has a chance to win it. Back to pass. Pump fake. Looking long downfield. Trying to get it to the near side, and it is incomplete. Good coverage there by Pfeiffer. Pass intended for Cannon Griffith.
I got a penalty. Or no, is that a flag back there? That's a piece of equipment.
That's a piece of something.
Something, yes.
Might be tape.
But it's not yellow. So
it
I
is not.
It's white.
Clock stop with a minute 14 to go. Second and 10 from the Mifflinburg 44.
John did a nice job on that. You're absolutely right, Kevin.
Coming out to the near side this time is going to be
the tight end.
Yeah, you're right. That is going to be Whitaker. Back to pass, rolling out to the near side, looking to dump it off, and he does so. Hits Carter Breed, and Breed will get out of bounds. Short of the 50 at the 49-yard line, it'll be a gain of about 4, bringing up 3rd down and 6.
It's an interesting game, isn't it, Kevin?
It's entertaining.
I mean, now, you know, if they don't get a first down, what do you do, you know?
Yeah, well, I think you got to punt the ball away and take your chances. I mean, Mifflinburg has played really good defense here since giving up the touchdown, but I don't think I want to give Shikalimi the ball at the midfield stripe. Remember, Gittins can hit him from 30 yards. And rolling out to the far side is Wrights. Wrights now to the middle of the field. Wrights is going to be close to the first down. Did he lean ahead and get it? It might have been enough.
I think he did get it, Kevin.
And it is a 1st and 10, Mifflinburg, at the Shikalimi 45-yard line. What a great effort by Wrights.
59 seconds to go, especially when I thought they had him in the backfield.
And the clock is winding now with 54. 1st and 10, shotgun, Wrights back to pass, pressure coming, steps up in the pocket. Now he is going to be sacked. Oh, dropped there by Geiser.
Geiser again with the sack.
Geiser with the sack, his second of the season. And that is going to be a loss of 3. Clock winding with 35 seconds to go before overtime. Wrights will come up with a 2nd and 12. Spike the ball to make it 3rd and 12 with 27 seconds to go. And they're going to have to reset the clock with the incomplete pass. It'll be 27 seconds is what I saw. We'll see if the official is right, or agrees with me, rather. 3rd down and 12. Oof, that's a little more conservative than I thought.
Well, they came over and asked the Mifflinburg coaches what they thought it should be.
Oh, okay. That explains it. Yeah, I think that's 2 seconds too many, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Watched the spike and then looked at the clock and saw 27.
It's 29.
So. It's not a Lloyd Carr clock here, is it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Where you add 3 seconds to every hour. 3rd down and 12 from the Shikalimi 47-yard line. No timeouts remaining for Mifflinburg. 29 ticks on the clock. 3rd down is 12 yards away. They have to get to the 35-yard line. Man in motion to the near side is Breed. Back to pass, Wrights. Wrights coming. He's going to run. He's got the 40, and he's bounced down at the 38-yard line. 3 yards short, clock winding with 18. They can't spike it. They can't call a timeout. 4th down. 4th and 4. 12 on the clock. Shotgun formation, Wrights. Flags fly. Back to pass, Wrights. Coming to the near side. He's going to fire it downfield. It is caught at a diving grab by number 4, Carter Breed. But it's not going to matter. It's all coming back, and there's 2 seconds left. I don't believe the Mifflinburg wide receiver was set on the near side.
Unless it's offsides against Shikalimi.
Or he was in the, or he might have lined up in the backfield, one of the two. The officials are talking it over. No reaction from the Shikalimi player. It might be 2 offsetting penalties. So let's see. Here comes the call with 2 seconds on the clock and a 7-all game. What a way to end this season, Chief. We have a false start against Mifflinburg.
Procedure foul going against.
So it is going to be a 5-yard penalty. We'll bring up fourth down. Now, here's the interesting part. Do they add time for the clock? I don't believe they do.
No, they don't. And they better get up because they're going to start the clock right
away. As soon as they get it spotted and set. And let's see. Clock winds with 2-1. They get it away. Wright's back to pass. Looking long downfield for Whitaker. Incomplete, and we go to overtime. Welcome to the bonus round.
Well, Kevin, this is the first time we've done a bonus round, you and I together.
I believe so. I can't remember when the last one was. It's probably at least 5 years ago. So, again, the overtime rules, you will do a coin toss. You will pick the winner will get an opportunity. They'll put 3 minutes on the clock to set things up here. So you'll get no clock. You'll have one timeout apiece. Any timeouts that you've saved will not carry over. You get the ball at the 10-yard line. Well, first off, you'll have the coin flip. At the coin flip, you will have the chance to go on offense or defense. The loser of the coin flip will then pick the side of the field that they want to play on. At that point, if you score, the defense has a chance to match or better. If they match or better, we'll do it all over again, with the defense then taking offense first. If there is a turnover on the first series, the second team will go on defense, or will go on offense immediately. If that turnover results into a direct touchdown defensively, the game is over at that point. Should the defense not score after the offense did not score, we go back to overtime number 2.
And do they switch the ends of the field?
No.
It should be
the same end of the field.
Well, I hope they're down at this end, Kevin.
Me too. Let's take a look at our Alexander Family Dealership out-of-town scoreboard. The final is Southern Columbia 49, South Williamsport 14. No surprise that they are the District 2A champs. Our Blaze Alexander Ford tough game of the week. Well, it wasn't tough for Jersey Shore. 54-0 over Shamokin. They are the 4A champs again. And then tomorrow will be the triple A game between Danville and Montoursville.
I expect that to be a high-scoring game.
You know what? That game is so weird. The matchup has been, it's either a humongous blowout, and I mean not even close, or it's like a 2-point game. There's no in between.
I just think both of them have offenses that are extremely
absolutely
prolific. All right, that's a big word.
That is a good word.
So, but anyway, in Danville. You know, with Riley and Persing hooking up all the time, they're pretty mean. And then Dressler's in there. Ooh, Dressler has one of my favorite first names, Jagger.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, and Mason Raup is there. He's related to my daughter, so through marriage.
Yeah.
And so I kind of.
And Jagger, if Jagger catches a touchdown pass, I will take credit for that.
Yeah, because you coached him.
I had him in youth.
You probably said, well, you know, Jagger couldn't catch until I showed him. You know, you have to have your hands like
you
this.
You got to make the diamond
instead
position.
Of like this.
That's right.
Right?
You got to do the triangle, man.
I'm sure his dad, Robert, probably appreciated everything you did for him too, right?
He'd give me a little credit.
All right.
All right. His mom would give me more credit.
Yeah,
than
probably.
Bob would.
Probably. So, but anyway, yeah, you know, some of the kids, the Persing boys are all, you know, their dad, Chris, was a Shikellamy graduate.
Absolutely. Ty's there. Yeah. Absolutely right.
So, and the Rileys, this is the last of the Rileys.
Yes, it is. End of an era.
Until the Rileys that, maybe one of the Rileys is old enough to have a child.
Well, there is one, but I don't think Colton is yet.
Well, number 59, Jared Oaks out
Colton
there.
Colton isn't married yet either.
Oh, well, that's good.
I don't think his mom would approve.
No, that
approve.
Would be nice. Kay Dressler out there representing Mifflinburg. And
here's the
Jared
coin toss.
Oaks.
Mifflinburg won the
they
toss.
They always win, Kevin.
They won the toss earlier today. But they elected to get the ball right away, and it paid off. That was their only touchdown, was that first drive.
They might want to go on defense first. Let's
and
see.
I think they're going to play that. Now they're going to say which side. I think they're going to take the right side near the score. I would take the one near the scoreboard, but they don't. they take it opposite the scoreboard.
Farthest away from us.
I would want it right near the scoreboard. But then again, it doesn't really matter that there's no time on the clock, so the clock will not matter. So it'll be first and 10, Shikellamy, first and goal, Shikellamy at the 10-yard line.
They'll be on offense.
They will indeed.
Well, here we go, folks. I would imagine you ought to check the numbers and see if anybody's still listening, Kevin.
If you're not, I think there's something seriously wrong.
Maybe they've had enough of our jovial frivolity. Tis the season coming up to be. In fact, you're going to start Christmas decorating tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know
that. Listen, it's 70 degrees. I mean, I'll be playing Bing Crosby's Mullikiliki Mugga.
Well, here we go, buddy.
All right, first overtime game of the year, and the first one maybe in a decade for Shikellamy.
It's kind of cool that, you know, if you're a Shikellamy senior, man, you're going to go out.
Bonus
play,
time.
Bonus, getting a couple of extra minutes here to play. Not only do you get the ninth game of the year, but you get an overtime game.
And what a way to end your season and end your career if you're a senior, to have this game end in an overtime win. But the Braves are going to have to do it with an offensive score followed up by a defensive stand.
Now, you can go for two, right?
If you want to, if you elect to.
And here we go, buddy.
All right, under center is Balestrini. Backs are split behind him at the 10-yard line, first and 10. Balestrini rolling out. It's going to be a handoff. Schaefer Knight to the inside. He's going to be down to the five, down to the two, and flags fly on the inside handoff to Schaefer Knight. What a great call, but unfortunately it's coming back.
Well, they played a counter. That's just nothing more than a counter back to the left side, and looks like the Braves either held or were offside.
Well, the worst part about it is now it's going to be first and goal at the 20 or thereabout.
The penalties have just killed the Braves tonight.
Indeed.
20-yard line.
So it'll be first and goal at the 20-yard line. Now you're almost at the college level where they start with the overtime play.
But in college, when you start at the 25,
you at least
you
have a chance
to get first downs.
You start at the 25 or the 35?
I don't know. I think it's 25, Kevin. We'll ask our analyst, Todd Tilford.
Yeah, we'll check in with our rules analyst. Shotgun formation, sidecar right. Balestrini lost the ball. He's got it back. He's got a stiff arm. He's in trouble. He's down at the 30-yard line and a loss of another 10. And that sack coming by number 44. And that's going to be
Ulrich, yeah. 44 was the running back, the kid that was running the ball, too. So is it Ulrich?
Well, no, I think
it's
Doan.
It's Doan.
Ulrich was there with him.
Quentin Doan had the tackle.
So it'll be a loss of 7. It'll be second down and goal at the 27. I don't think I've ever said that.
Well, they're not going to get this playoff, Kevin.
They got 9 on the play clock. Remember, you got one. I think you have one timeout, even though the scoreboard doesn't show it. 4, 3, shotgun. Get it away. Back to pass. Balestrini. Pressure's coming. He's in trouble. He's got to fire it away. He tries to get it to Fitz. It's incomplete. And it'll be third down and goal from the 27. Here's the big problem. Taking that sack, Chief, now the Braves are looking at a 45-yard field goal, and now you're really pushing the distance.
Kevin, the one thing that the Braves have not done tonight is they've not given him time to throw the ball most of the time.
You're right.
Mifflinburg, and I don't think they brought a lot of people. I think they were just the down linemen.
Chief, I think you got to get this ball inside the 20,
exactly.
To give yourself a chance to put points on the board. Third down and goal from the 27 in overtime. Balestrini, direct snap, 4-man rush, setting up, looking long downfield. This is the way they end every practice. He goes up for it, and it is incomplete. They end every practice calling it what they call go for the win. And it was Pfeiffer
that was up there and got his hands on it.
Well, Pfeiffer, Weir, and Marshall are all down there and got their hands on it and just couldn't come down with it. Now the question is, on fourth down, do they do the same thing again? Coach Kaiser comes over to Balestrini. Fourth and goal from the 27-yard line. They'll send Weir, Marshall, and Pfeiffer over there again. Shotgun sidecar right. Balestrini, direct snap, back to pass. sets up, steps up. He's swarmed under and in trouble. Can't get away from it. Flags flying. If that's a face mask, it could be an automatic first down.
Flag on the play.
Wow.
Now we'll see what the officials call.
It's not automatic first down. It never has been, Kevin.
Should be if it's a personal foul.
Personal foul, face mask.
It's going to be a 15-yard penalty, and they'll get a chance to run fourth down again at the worst. Wow, what a huge, huge call and a turning point of the game. That could be our Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game.
Well, that's going to put the ball down in field goal range, Kevin.
It does indeed.
And here they come.
And they are going to bring in Gittins for the field goal. Gittins, 0-for-3 in field goals. But it is his range. He will set up. And a timeout, I think, by Mifflinburg here. No, by Shikalimi. They'll take their timeout and talk this one over.
Well, Kevin, he's on. It looks like he's on the right hash, doesn't it?
Yes.
So that makes it a little more complicated for him.
Yeah, that's going to be the tougher. Actually, I think he likes that side, believe it or not.
Well, I hope so.
So this one is going to be at the 20-yard line, fourth and goal from the 20. So this should be about a 37-yard attempt for a chance to take a 10-7 lead in the first overtime. Thanks for staying with us here on WKOK, WKOK.com, and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app tonight. Hopefully you're enjoying the game. I don't know how you could not. It is a dandy brook.
To quote Coach Lockoff.
Indeed. So where is this going to be? Is it 37 yards, it looks like. So a 37-yard attempt coming. Snap is good. Sets down. The kick is up. And it is not going to be long enough. And it's not long enough and to the right. So it is no good. And Mifflinburg will now have a chance to win the game outright.
Well, Kevin, you know, John's feeling bad out there, but you can't, you know, that's a pretty long field goal for him against a team that, you know, go put a lot of people, you know, rushing you, and the fact that he hasn't had a lot of opportunities here to practice kicking field goals during the game.
Well, and he's been out.
Yeah.
He has been out for the last couple of weeks, too.
Yeah.
So the Braves defense will have to get him back into this one and give him another shot. Mifflinburg only needs to put points on the board and not turn the ball over. If Mifflinburg turns the ball over, we go to double overtime.
I'd run that read option and give it to my quarterback. He's been tough all night long.
Wright's in the shotgun with a sidecar left. Three receivers far side, first and goal at the 10. Wright's has it, low snap, gets it, picks it up. Now goes out, swings a pass out, and is complete. Complete out to the far side to Breed, tackled immediately by Marshall. And they'll spot it. Let's see, I think they'll spot him at about the 7-yard line, a gain of
seven,
three.
Seven or eight, somewhere in there, Kevin. Let me get the old binoculars out here.
It is at the 7.
Yeah.
So a 3-yard gain, second down and goal from the 7.
I can either get the binoculars out or look at the scoreboard. They'll tell me, right?
I trust you. Trust in Chief. Wright's with a sidecar right on this second down. Pressure coming from the backside. He's going to come up the middle. He's going to be close to the end zone. Did he make it in? No, he did not. He's going to be short. They're going to spot him at about the 4-yard line.
Well, Kevin, you know, he was bottled up here trying to run to his left. They kicked him inside, and, you know, I thought he was going to go because it looked like the pursuit overran him. But I couldn't see who made the tackle, but they did stop him.
7 all in the first overtime. Shikalimi did not convert. They missed a field goal from 37 yards out after a couple of big losses and a holding penalty, marched it all the way back to almost the 30-yard line. It is third down and goal from the 5. They'll go with the power set. They'll move a man in motion. The dive back goes to the fullback. Did he get in? And he
fumble.
He is in. That's the ball game.
I thought he fumbled the ball. And he did fumble the ball, and somebody else fell on it.
Cade Dressler picks up the touchdown from 5 yards out. It looked like he was going to be stuffed.
He's got, you know, that's
and he
bizarre.
Comes up with it. It looked like he was going to be stuffed off the left side. He races it in for a score, and Pfeiffer actually picked the ball up, ran it all the way back for what he thought was a, just a play it safe touchdown.
In overtime, we have a final score.
I thought the ball came loose. I saw the ball come out. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. The officials called it a touchdown, so the game's over.
And that is where we end it. 13-7 in overtime. Mifflinburg with the win after taking a 7-0 lead on the first drive, fight their way back to win it. 13-7. Post-game wrap coming up next on WKOK and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
No heat?
Better call McCreary.
Furnace is broke.
Better call McCreary.
Boiler not boiling?
Better call McCreary.
Heat pump tune up for winter.
Already?
Yep, already.
Better call McCreary.
Service, repair, installations. Call us because we're the best. McCreary's HVAC. Oh, and even on for refrigeration.
Better call McCreary's.
Call 570-473-8815 or on that device of yours. McCreary's HVAC Inc.com.
Better call McCreary's.
You'll see the world of difference at Central Vision Eye Care in the Susquehanna Valley. Conserving and improving your vision with the latest ophthalmic technology is the commitment of Dr. Daniel Facero and Dr. Tara Unsicker Facero. Central Vision Eye Care is scheduling appointments for their locations in Lewisburg, Milton, and Montoursville. Central Vision Eye Care for vision exams, medical exams, cataract surgery. Central Vision Eye Care, where patients are their focus. See us at centralvisioneyecare.com or call 570-768-4970. That's 570-768-4970. 4970.
Hiking, biking, rowing, running. The game is life, and you're the weekend warrior. You work hard and you play hard. Football, baseball, soccer, golf. To move is to live, and whatever your sport, Shamokin Dam Health Center specializes in total health to keep you in the game. Call 743-4333.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
Every week, thousands of people from all over the world come through our doors to enjoy a home-cooked meal or just to browse our gift shops. One of the favorite spots that folks like to gather are near our fireplaces, found throughout our restaurant and lobby areas. Ever since Glick's installed the Heat and Glow inserts in fireplace, we've received so many compliments about how warm and inviting they make our store. I'm Steve Culhavey, General Manager of Country Cupboard in Lewisburg, and we're pleased to be able to recommend Glick's Heat and Glow products.
Hubs Home Oxygen and Medical Supplies is proud to support the Shikellamy Braves. Like the quarterback, they are the leaders in the field of home health, medical equipment, and respiratory services. Visit us online to learn more or stop by our newest location in Sealands Grove at the Susquehanna Valley Mall. Go Braves!
Shikellamy falling to Mifflinburg 13-7 in overtime tonight here at Wildcat Stadium. Kevin Hur along with the Chief Dave Ritchie as we wrap things up for the season. Mifflinburg had the ball at the 25-yard line, popped in a 75-yard drive that took 10 minutes, and Wrights with a 3-yard touchdown run made it 7-0, and that's pretty much where we were until the 4-minute mark, 4 minutes and 44 seconds to go in the third quarter. That's when Pfeiffer caught a 28-yard touchdown pass from Balestrini. It will become Balestrini's fifth touchdown pass of the season and Pfeiffer's second reception of the season. The extra point was good. It made it 7-7, and we went to overtime. Both teams had opportunities in the fourth quarter, could not get the ball into the red zone. Well, then the officials placed it in the red zone. First and goal at the 10. The Braves ended up with a loss, a holding penalty, and a sack. And then on the last sack, Mifflinburg grabs the face mask of Balestrini, and instead of it being fourth down from a goal from the 35-yard line, it becomes fourth down and goal from the 20, and the Braves opt to try a field goal of 37 yards by Gittens. Gittens was a little bit short and right of the upright. It was no good. Mifflinburg took over first and 10 went three plays, and then pounded it in with the big guy who's been running all those short yardage plays all through the night tonight, and ended up getting the final touchdown of the season.
Was it Dressler?
And yes, thank you. It was Dressler with the final touchdown of the season.
Cade Dressler, the senior Dressler's boy.
And
yep.
And he will get that five-yard run, although Chief thought he might have fumbled the ball. The officials say
the ball did come out, Kevin. And
the
I don't know if it went in the end zone first. And he fell over it. I don't know, but the ball did come out.
Yeah, the officials say he broke the plane, scored a touchdown, and, of course, the extra point is unnecessary. So the Wildcats win it in overtime by a score of 13-7. Listen, we've seen a lot of improvement in this Shikellamie team. We've seen a lot, and this is a Mifflinburg team that got thumped last week against Jersey Shore. They could have easily said, listen, this season's over. This game means nothing. Let's go home. They're a fairly young team. Shikellamie's got a fairly young team as well. This sets a really good tone, though, for the 2021 season and the summer workouts that are coming up that we hope will be a little bit better than this year's summer workouts.
Hey, Kevin, it was a game that looked like Mifflinburg was going to just run the ball down Shikellamie's throat. Their defense caught up, and the Braves' defense caught up and basically stopped them the rest of the game. The only time they even the overtime was when they scored. The Braves many times stopped them on fourth down, or they made them punt. So, and let's give Mifflinburg credit. They held the Braves at bay except for that one drive. And then, of course, the Braves, so many penalties tonight. How many? Twice.
Unusual.
Two different times that, we'd get a first down and then have two or three penalties in a row and take us right out of that consistency to keep driving.
One thing I will say, though, is this was a very good matchup for both of these teams, not because it went overtime, but because these two teams battled the entire game, and not one. We thought by that opening drive, Mifflinburg really is just going to pound it right down Shikellamie's throat, and there'll be no chance. Shikellamie's defense made some great adjustments and then really stopped everything that was going wrong in that first drive, and Mifflinburg really couldn't do much of anything the rest of the game. Mifflinburg as well shut down a Shikellamie offense that was really starting to get comfortable after the last couple of weeks.
You know, again, the well said cliche, it's a shame that either team had to lose, you know, and unfortunately for the Braves, the Wildcats got the better deal as far as their offense in the overtime. Shikellamie just, you know, they got a penalty on the first play after Schaefer Knights takes it down almost to the goal line, and that's a 10-yard penalty, and then they get sacked, you know, and it's just one of those things that the Braves didn't function well in the overtime.
Mifflinburg comes out with a 13-7 victory in overtime tonight on the second-to-last play that was possible in the first overtime. We're awaiting the final numbers from Don Leitzel here as we wrap things up for the season.
The quarterback for we had two classic quarterbacks here tonight with Balestrini and Wrights, and Wrights was basically the big part of their offense after that long drive in the first quarter, and he just very fast, good job at the run option, and he's another kid that you just don't get a good solid hit on him. All right.
Well, this one I'll make easy. I'll pick it for the first time this year because it's probably the easiest one of the year to pick. Our Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. Obviously, the 5-yard touchdown run by Dressler to ice this one at 13-7. That's the Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. Shamokin Dam Health Center and Workplace Injury Institute offering medical care, chiropractic care, rehabilitation, and more. Call 570-743-4333 for an appointment. That's quickly wrap up some of the games we had tonight. Those games included Jersey Shore defeating Shamokin in the 4A championship game up at the Shore Without a Beach, 54-0. It was Southern Columbia in the 2A championship game beating South Williamsport 49-14. In the fourth quarter, Line Mountain leading Penns Valley 35-12. And, of course, this one now final in overtime. Mifflinburg 13, Shikellamie 7. Danville, Montoursville tomorrow afternoon at 1. That game will be up in Montoursville on the turf. Chief, as we wrap things up here tonight, one of the things that you saw from the Shikellamie team here in this second half of the season.
Oh, two things. Defense once they got established, some of the kids that pay permanent positions, all right, and that basically, you know, the defense turned the season around, and then the offense, except for tonight, the offense didn't play as well as they have in the past, but a lot of it has to be attributed to a solid Mifflinburg defense. So, and I think the kids have a lot of positive things to gain in the last four games, and I told the people before, these kids are survivors. There's a lot of change in their lives, and they just kept at it, and they ended up with a 3-6 season. But you know, I think we're very happy with the way the last four games went.
And we'll hang in here just a little bit, Chief. Lost a little bit of power there, but we'll figure it out here.
All right.
We'll figure it out here in a minute either way. Let's take a look at some of the – Chief, I'm going to let you go ahead and read some of the numbers here tonight while All we right. get things set to finish.
Well, for the Braves in rushing, Simcoe had five rushes for 7 yards, Ballestrini 12 for 51, Wolf 2 for 3, Schaefer Knights 2 for 8, and Gittins 1 for 12 as he had to run that punt out. As a team, they were 2 for minus 8. The other team, they had 24 rushes for 73 yards. Passing-wise, Ballestrini 7 for 19 with no interceptions, 1 TD, 83 yards altogether. Wortman 1 for 2 with no interceptions, 7 yards altogether. Overall, 8 for 21, no interceptions, 90 yards. Receiving-wise, Pfeiffer had 6 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. Fitzgerald 2 for 20, 8 on the night for the team, 90 yards. So if you take a look at the total offense for the Braves, it was 163 yards, all right? Mifflinburg, the leading rusher was the quarterback Wrights, 18 rushes for 65 yards and a touchdown. Darrop had 12 rushes for 35 yards, and Dressler had 7 for 34 yards with a touchdown, that one being the overtime. 47 rushes for 132 yards. Wrights was 9 for 20. With 71 yards and one interception. Receiving, the leading receiver was Whitaker, the tight end, 2 with 24 yards, and Griffiths, 2 for 21 yards. They had 9 receptions for 71 yards. They ended up with a total of 203 yards total offense. It's not a lot of offense for two teams, right. You know, 203 and 163. Probably the most important part here was both teams had one turnover, all right? Shikalimi
and both teams were able to not both defenses were able to stop any chance of capitalizing on that turnover.
Yeah, exactly. The Braves had 7 penalties for 45 yards, and Mifflinburg 4 penalties for 27 yards. First downs, Shikalimi 8 altogether, and Mifflinburg with 14. I guess the total plays were 34 plays to 14.
That was
plays.
In the first half.
That was in the first half, so we don't have that one. But anyway, look at it. I guess the final statistic is the fact that, thank you, Mr. Leitzel, I appreciate everything, is the fact that the score was 13-7 in favor of Mifflinburg in overtime.
Well, big thank you to Don Leitzel, who's gone with us and been with us all season long to help us with some of the numbers, and really appreciate his help, Chief. Great working with you again for football season.
Yeah, hope people put up with us. That's all.
And hopefully we'll be able to do the same thing for you in basketball season. If and when we do have that, I mean, we're all thinking that that's going to happen, but this year has been one of those years where you're never quite sure what to expect anymore.
Exactly, yep.
And the Braves having a really good end of the season here in the second half with a new coaching staff, and talking to the coaching staff last night, one of the things that they had said was that it's, you know, they were just starting to get comfortable after having such a short summer, really. They were just starting to get comfortable with each other. The players were starting to understand their style, and the coaches were starting to understand the players a little bit more. And, you know, and again, I've known Jim Kizer for several years, and I know he has special moments feelings for all these seniors every year. And it's like he said to us in the pregame, I haven't really known these guys that long, but he said it's still going to be tough to see these guys leave.
Oh, you bet. You bet. Exactly. It's tough for us to watch them go.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've watched Ballestrini take over, Drew Ballestrini take over from basically, I think, his freshman year
and getting put in the quarterback slot because, well, they were running out of players yep. at quarterback that year, and saw him there. And Duncan Weir, again, he was a guy that, you know, wasn't really that excited to play quarterback, but had to for a little while. And we saw him mature into one heck of a middle linebacker this
exactly.
year. I think Fitzgerald had played probably the best season of his career here this year, moving to safety. I thought that was an outstanding move for him. And Pfeiffer really came out of his shell as a wide receiver this year, and I was really impressed with him.
Yeah, exactly. We had, you know, got to talk about some kids that, Curtis Raker, I'm looking at him right here. Curtis has been playing since he was in ninth grade. He's a junior. He started out as a center, and tonight that's what he played, center again. But he's also played a lot of defense. And I think about the running backs that decided that, you know, we needed some people in the line. Geiser went to the line.
Yeah.
And so did Schaefer Knights, all right, and that. So, and I'm looking at Ortiz, why can't I think of his name? Ethan, help me out, 48.
I'm not sure where you were going.
give me a second here, all right? Turber Ortiz.
Oh, you're talking. Okay.
I mean, from running back to defense or to playing in the line, and same way with Geiser. So the kids went to positions to help the team out.
And then you have a kid who moves into the district and transfers from Southern
exactly.
Columbia, and McCormick misses the first game, then has to really get into a comfort zone with everybody, and then gets moved all over the place on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, and then finds a great spot in the line, and again. Played an outstanding year there. So
exactly. Yep.
Well, Chief, once again, our final score, it was Mifflinburg 13 and Shikellamy 7. The Braves finished the season now 3-6 on the year. Mifflinburg, a 5-4 year for the Wildcats. For Don Leitzel, the Chief, Dave Ritchie, I'm Kevin Hearn. Don't forget, Penn State football coming up tomorrow. The Nittany Lions taking on Maryland. We'll have the pregame beginning at 2 with the tailgate show. Kickoff at 3:30 from Beaver Stadium with Steve Jack, Roger Corey as well. And don't forget to check out the full Penn State schedule and any other things that we have going on in sports at WKOK.com. Click sports schedule. Once again, for the Chief, Dave Ritchie, Don Leitzel, I'm Kevin Hearn. Thanks for joining us all season long on the weirdest season of high school football ever on News Radio 1070 WKOK and online with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. Maybe we'll see you in December, hopefully by August at least.